Oh, hey, how are you? It's good to have you back.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are
you? It's just good to see you again. Every week we're doing our podcast, and you keep coming and clicking on the podcast, and we're just like, hey, how are you again? It's good to see you. You know, we do appreciate you being here.
Appreciate you.
Somehow we're just still going. You know, I want to blame Cheap Light Beer for this podcast, and
Cheap Latte Beer, you mean?
We still haven't sponsored us.
Fueling that steam engine, yeah. We're not drinking any beer that starts with a B. Because it won't pay us nothing, like Brock Lesnar once said. yeah, great start to this podcast. No, this one was recorded at the Big Time headquarters in Indiana. We just had our mobile set up on the road, so it's not going to be studio quality. But had a lot of fun. We were hanging out in the Big Time apartment, talking Big Time with Joe and traditional archery with our buddy Shad.
And we got a tour of the plant, too. That was pretty cool.
It was really cool. We have a vlog up. Off-the-clock vlog is what we call it on our YouTube. And we do like a little quick low-budget tour of it. We're not video production people at all, but we should probably start plugging our
not yet
our YouTube a little better, so check that out.
Probably shouldn't do that.
Not yet. So this, we have a veteran shout out, and the veteran shout out is brought to you by TNK Hunting Gear, and they were kind enough to give us some vinyl harnesses to give away to veterans, and Doug has a veteran shout out that will get a TNK vinyl harness, which is awesome.
All right, boys, ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is submitted by William Smith. And the veteran is Aaron Bennett from the Marines. Aaron and I were in Alpha Company together from 2003 to 2005. Aaron was my roommate when I first got to Camp Horno, and I wish I had been more into hunting and hockey back then. Aaron grew up in Missouri playing hockey and hunting and everything. We were both point men of our different squads in Iraq and often talked about how it was just like hunting while on patrol. Aaron left the Marine Corps in 2005 and found himself working as a cameraman for Drury Outdoors.
Oh, cool.
And is even featured in a few videos. Currently, Aaron works for Whitetail Properties still in Missouri and has closed the deal on several properties by showing the buyers how to close the deal on whitetail and turkeys. We don't talk all that often, and when we do, it's usually talking shit to each other about hockey, which is nice.
And Doug, you're a hockey guy, so you can relate to that.
You can relate to that. Chirping them, you know? But in my opinion, Aaron makes for one hell of a vet shout out coming from you guys.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, yeah, thank you for submitting that. And thank you, Aaron, for your service.
And both of you for your service.
Yeah, and your hard work in the whitetail woods.
You bunch of goons.
You bunch of goons. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate that. If you'd like to submit your own veteran shout out, workingclassbowhunter.com is where you need to go. Hit the contact tab, and there's a button for the veteran shout out when you scroll down. Just fill it out, and that goes right to our emails, and we will get it on the show sooner or later. So thank you for your service, guys. And yeah, let's pay the bills. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports, and you can use code WCB15 to save yourself some coin at HHASports.com. American made, veteran supported, and I think one of the best archery sight brands on the planet. So
lifetime warranty.
Yeah, it's awesome. You drop it from your tree stand and snap the thing off, yeah, well, just let them know.
And they give back to veterans, so.
Yeah, it's hard to hate on that. And if you're curious about a single pin sight, I highly suggest looking into HHA.
Or rest.
Single pin, get a lot of questions about them. We love them. I always say give it a try. I think you'd be open to, I think you'll realize how awesome they are when you start
shooting.
You'd
be surprised, like. It almost be hard to go back now.
But they also offer a three pin sight also, if you want to still stick with that option.
Yeah, with the same
just
platform.
Dip your toes in the water.
Just getting a little wet there. Podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher, the Rapid Mobile Shower. We have the Working Class Bowhunter Edition, so please check that out. If it's not out yet, it should be any day. Mm-hmm. We're working on getting all that rocking. So,
where can people find that?
Well, it will be, you go to workingclassbowhunter.com and we'll have a click-through link for you that'll take you to a special link with Scent Crusher to get our special edition to help support us, show Scent Crusher that you think we're the real deal, and that always helps. They have their Halo series out. They have a whole new line of bags, room cleans, all the goods, so check it out, scentcrusher.com. Also, Loophole Optics, very thankful to be supported by a brand like Loophole. Great people there, very very high quality products. The rangefinders, the binos is just amazing. That's one I always heard, you know, put your money into good optics because you won't regret it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely can back that now. It's good optics make a huge difference in what you're doing.
I think we've all used crappy pairs of binos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised the difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Had the Walmart pairs, you know, going from, you know, in the field, 3D archery to hunting with them and everything. It's just, you know, I live through my loopholes now.
It's a major advantage.
I feel naked if I don't have them on me.
Absolutely.
Also, Thermoset and Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, outfitting the working class. I'm super thankful to be partnered with good people like that, an Iowa-based company. Buy all your favorite brands there. GatorOutdoors.com. Follow them all social media. It's a feel-good page when you follow them. Also, Elite Archery. Use code WCB at EliteArchery.com or any outdoor group products and save yourself, I believe, 20%?
I think so.
We should know our codes. But we're all shooting the Cure this year. Big Tine, food plot seed, supplemental feed, mineral. Big Tine has something for you in your state where legal. Code WCB2020 saves you 20% out of everything Big Tine. Hunter's Blend Coffee. And Eric is going to take some trips to Old Barn Taxidermy.
This year. That's right.
Are you?
Yep. I already got it penciled in.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He already called Sam up and said, hey, boy, I'll see you here after this hunt, and then I'll see you after this, after, you know, whatever date you told him.
During I'll see White you Kills. When
yep.
I see you.
Yeah. And then Doug's mustache got a little tingly, and he said, yep,
me too. He was wiggling at me.
It's weird.
It was a little tingly.
It's a connection.
That was weird.
Thank you to all our supporters. We appreciate the hell out of you so much. And it's kind of cool to have companies like that back us when we are as stupid as we are.
That's true. Hey. We are pretty fucking stupid.
Our gains are lost. You know what I'm saying? All right. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are at Big Tine.
We are in
Big Tine, but we're at Big Tine.
The headquarters.
They were nice enough, Joe was nice enough to invite us out to hang out, do a little bit of scouting, see the facility.
Get fucking electrocuted.
Yeah, get electrocuted by a fence.
That happened.
So this is Kurt Geyer talking. We'll just go around the table. Introduce yourself, sir. So
people, Joe Humphries of Big Tine.
We got
Shad Vanetti of nothing. I'm of nothing.
You're just rad. That's it.
I drink water.
Eric Hammond of Working Class Bowhunter.
And Doug Schmidt of Working Class Bowhunter.
There you go.
Well, welcome to the podcast, guys. It's really just fantastic to have you here. Really excited to just get some recording done.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Feel good intro.
First of all, thanks, Joe, for having us. We're in the Big Tine apartment, which is really nice. We were under the impression we were coming out here that it was like an off-site deal.
Sleeping on Big Tine bags.
Yeah. Like next to a grain bin or something.
Sleeping in the grain bin?
No, like I was telling you guys before, when we added on and started just going crazy and everything, they just took the old offices of the seed facility, turned into this apartment, and that's what we use for when folks come in to hunt and everything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, special visits, whatever it might be. That's here's where we are.
It's like top-notch, too. There's giant bucks everywhere. I mean, let's paint the picture where we're recording. We're kind of like in a living room, dining room area, but there is, I mean, the two OG Big Tine bucks are in here, right?
Yeah, the original buck from the first bag that we ever had, if anybody remembers that red bag, that buck was named Big Time. That's where we got our name from. Mm-hmm. He was killed literally a half mile from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
The buck that's on the bag now, he's up there on the other side.
It's a giant.
Huge. He's pretty good.
It is huge. Yeah.
And then we got Krista McDaniel's buck of Curly. We've got a replica of him staring down at us now, too.
It's a mm-hmm. stud, man.
Looking right at me.
It's very cool. Are all these bucks in here replicas of those deer?
Yeah. They
are.
Well, if we have a really nice over 200 verified that it was a big time buck, you know, grown yeah. or however, whatever it is, then we'll throw it on the wall.
That's really cool.
That is really awesome.
So if I kill a 200 inch big time buck off a big time food plot this year,
absolutely.
He gets
you might kill one here.
I could kill my first Indiana happen. Buck. That'd be awesome. I'm excited about that
way to do it.
Never 200 incher.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, no big deal, but yeah, I'd take it, you know. But you can't shoot 3-year olds. So if he's 3-year old,
I don't want 3-year olds killed.
Not even if they're 200 inches.
That's acceptable. Just a skinny ass 200 inch.
Yeah. Where's the line of score for age to make it on, like, when you're trying to manage a place?
That's a tough question.
That is a super tough question.
Like, what is it? 70? 60? 50?
I would say mid-60s.
That's very fair.
I mean,
that's very fair.
If he feels right, then, you know, yeah. use your judgment.
Yeah, right. I know. I get that for sure.
Eric's going to smack a 120.
Just 2-year-old.
Whoops.
Don't you be shooting my trunk deer.
Yeah, we need to keep the spikes.
Keep the spikes.
But I have not seen Shad that excited. The field right next to our property on the way in, there's a buck sitting out there. He's like, it's a spike. Is that big time property? Like, you're not hunting this, dude.
Not know your ways. Not you. Not for you. That's funny, man. Tell us about like what goes on here. I get like give us sort of like the rough audio tour from what you showed us today.
Yeah. So here in Rockville, Indiana, which we're, you know, 5 miles from the Illinois line from you. It wasn't a bad drive for you today, was it?
No, it was about 4 hours.
4 hours.
Not bad at all.
This is where all the production's done. This is where all the seed is gathered from farmers coming in. You know, we're still taking in corn and everything this year.
Yeah.
Everything gets weighed right outside the apartment here, mm-hmm. dumped in the bins. Production's, you know, you go back a little bit. That's where everything's being blended and everything. We didn't even get to go upstairs because they weren't running right now. But
yeah.
You know, shipping's right here. It's all done right here.
It's pretty cool, man. And it just smells of cherry rush scent.
Yeah, they were running this morning. You could definitely tell when you came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
When the wind's blowing right, you can smell it all through town.
Oh, I bet you can.
They love us down there.
Do they love it or they hate it?
I think they're used to it.
Yeah.
How could you not love it? It smells great.
Well, we live near Clinton, Iowa, and there's a dog food.
Oh, like, it's a corn processing plant.
I thought they did dog food over there.
No, that's downtown Davenport, Purina.
Oh.
They do corn processing up there in Clinton, so it just smells of shit all the time.
It reeks bad.
Of rotten corn, pretty much. Lovely. the whole town.
It was cool, though, to see like all the pallets stacked up, like what's going out to where, and like you know what you were showing us. Like, hey, a lot of this stuff is already bought and paid for, and it's just waiting to ship right now.
Right,
like,
yeah, we're just waiting on trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, on Monday, they're lined up all the way back to town.
No kidding.
I mean, they're just stacked in here. And like last Thursday, they were chip sealing right out in front. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, that
was a disaster.
Time. Yeah, I mean, everyone, like, this is the time, no matter how much we preach year-round,
yeah,
you know, 365, this is the time where people start seeing their bucks blow up, and, mm-hmm. oh, I better go feed my deer.
Getting excited. And
that's when everybody's going nuts. It translates mm-hmm. to the retailers, and they're putting truckload orders in.
Yeah.
And then they just stack up out here.
Right, right. Well, let's talk a little bit about fall food plots, because right now that's probably on a lot of people's brain, or they want to do it but don't know how to do it. They don't know what to plant. They don't know when to plant, that type of thing. I know we've like roughly gone over this a little before, but
yeah, I think we hit the spring hard last time, and then mm-hmm. everything just kind of went off the rails, and we didn't get to the fall part after 2.5 hours.
But we don't do that.
No.
What do you know?
Right now, really, by the time people are hearing this, you probably should have your plots ready to go if you haven't got your seed yet.
Yeah.
If not, that's cool. We've got the buck brunch that you guys know and love that you don't need to do much to.
Love it.
Just throw it out.
That's the working man. We think you should almost rebrand it. Like, maybe we could do like a working class.
Wait till you see the brunch. One I got coming out next year.
Ooh.
Ooh. We'll talk about that one off.
Why is it spicy?
Off the podcast.
Oh, daddy. That's spicy.
Oh, my God.
That one might be the WCB
blend.
Yeah.
WCB blend.
I'm just saying.
Nice. That's the move.
Rad.
Yeah, remind me of that later.
Okay.
I won't forget. Hey,
write that down.
It's sexy.
Yeah. Okay.
But well, no, it,
little drop, little steamy drop there. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hot potato.
Hot potato. So, but for now, Buck Brunch is your working class
plate. Yeah, you got the Buck Brunch, the Long Range, which was really hyped up. We've completely sold out already.
No kidding.
It was the Long Range is going to be winter wheat, oats, turnips, radishes, clover. What did I not mention? Kale. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the all around high tonnage.
Yeah.
Food plot blend. Mm-hmm. And when we dropped it, the outfitters that we work with all got a hold of it, started reading about it, and they all just went nuts on it.
Jumped
buying
on
it by the pallet.
So is there much prep with that seed then?
That one's not going to be a throw on grow because the oats you really need to get in the ground.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, cultipak and everything.
Sure.
Not necessarily drilled, but
you got to get it in there.
You got to get it in the dirt.
Correct. I planted half last stand, half Buck Brunch on one of my plots last year, and we're doing them working class style. Like, we don't have a lot of equipment. You know, we tilled it up, cleaned it all, you know, sprayed, tilled it, you know, all the shit, turned the dirt over, and then we took a cultipacker behind my Ranger and just drove
That's
over
the key.
It.
Yep.
And but really, other than that, not a ton of like soil prep. It's just, dude, we're just like everybody else. Like, we got the soil test kit, went out there, did it. We just didn't really need to add a whole lot, and we just like, all right, we'll plant it, and it grew great. I had a camera over it all season, and there's freaking deer out there every single night eating off it. So
I'm glad you brought up the soil test kit.
Yeah,
because we're still working on ours because we want it to be super, super easy.
Oh, you guys are going to offer one?
Yeah, we're going to offer one off our website.
Very cool.
That is awesome.
I want it to be one of those deals where, you know, if you're, you know, hopefully planting big time food plots,
yeah,
you send in your soil test and it's going to tell you exactly what you need to do for each different bun that we have.
That's awesome.
Oh, so dope. There's not going to be any guesswork.
No
I'm
guesswork.
I'm just going to throw Triple 10 out. Daryl, my food plot Jedi.
Yeah,
I mean, he is really diving into this, and it's going to be absolutely perfect when we have it done. And you literally just order it off the website. It's not available yet, so don't be messaging me like crazy. It's not open yet.
Yeah.
We want it perfect.
There's going to be no guesswork. It's going to be black and white. Here's
exactly.
what to do.
It's going to tell you exactly what to put
right.
in.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't need nitrogen, you need some potash, you know, a 0064. Most people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that either.
Yeah.
It's just straight potash. It's going to tell you this is what you're going to do if this is what you're going to plant.
Mm.
It's super, super easy.
That's awesome.
It's going to break everything down for you right there. That's awesome.
That's cool because I feel like when we talk about food plots, for some reason, my brain doesn't retain any of the information. I don't know what it is. It's like every time I do a food plot podcast, it's like the first time I'm hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just it's one of those things for me that it's just maybe because I don't fully understand a lot of the shit we're talking about, and it just doesn't stick. I don't know.
I'm still learning.
It just seems complex.
Well, and there's that thing, too. I think a lot of people think, I'm just going to till it up and throw the seed down, and it's going to grow.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of the soil, you're not
going to
have shit.
That's what I'm saying, right.
I mean, and that's going to be the people that are talking shit about your blend going,
This shit didn't come up worth a shit.
And,
right.
Well, what'd you do to prep for it?
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, if you took care of it, and that's exactly why, you know, I showed you guys the field out here. We've got a 7-acre field that we're going to do all of our test plots in.
Yeah.
We're going to plant them here in 2 weeks according to the bag size. So if you get a bag of Lockdown, which is the winter pea blend, we're going to plant that to a 1/4 acre. So you can physically see what a 1/4 acre looks like when you put that down.
Oh, gotcha.
The Long Range, I've got one bag left.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to steal from my own stash that I was going to plant at my house to plant out here at the test site, but you'll see what a 1/2 acre looks like.
So that whole field, you're going to be able to tell with the difference between all those plots. You'll be able to see it when you look at it.
And that's where it got a little difficult for us doing the soil test. You know, I did two tests on it. I did a west end and an east end. Then we had to start like picking apart what we were going to plant in each side because it's different fertilizer for if you're going to do brassicas or if you're going to do legumes, which is your clovers and everything. That's a totally different deal.
Yeah.
Right?
So
that's where my mind started kind of blowing up, and Daryl's like, "Oh, this is easy, man." North Carolina. I'm sorry, the accent comes out.
There it is.
P. Vitti or Daryl.
They're universal.
Yeah,
they're interchangeable. Yeah, that's cool though that you guys are doing all the work. That way, when guys like me that can't remember a goddamn thing,
I want to make it as simple as possible. Yeah, for you, man,
you got to for hunters. Like guys that are working class are busy as shit. Like
people with a wage brain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's wage brain shit. That's what it is, man. Like, well, it, I don't know, who knows what it is, but it's wage brain. I mean, we can just draw that conclusion.
That's science, right?
It's science,
that's,
yeah, right? It is. Yeah, exactly.
Called that.
But like for wage the brain. So my lease where I can plant food plots, we go down there, we spray. And then we don't always have a mower available. I got lucky and caught the owner out there mowing his like fire breaks. And I was like, hey, can you mow down our food plots for us? We sprayed over there. So I'm good there. And then probably next weekend we're going to turn the dirt over and probably plant here soon. But I need to I just always have like the resources available to prep everything how I need to without being super like ghetto about it. But what I have planted is buck brunches. I plant every year basically now, and I've had great luck with it, honestly. My buddy Tyler killed – it's his second deer ever, but he hadn't killed one in years. He shot one. I didn't hunt our lease a whole lot last year, but he shot a doe off a buck brunch plot. And
yeah, we definitely improved on the buck brunch a little bit more this year.
Oh, really?
You know, took away from the ryegrass, and you're going to have wheat in there too.
Oh, cool.
So, and kale. We added kale to it as well. So
I will say, when we planted half last stand, half – buck brunch in one of our plots. I think our lease, when the first year we leased it, it got hit by disease of some sort really bad. And every year it seems that we find more and more. But we've been planting plots, so maybe that's what's bringing more deer in. But it does seem the deer numbers are down. We had a really good buck, a nice 8 out feeding in the buck brunch in broad daylight on a place that gets a lot of pressure. The neighbors pressure it a lot. But my buddy Tyler had never really seen a big buck in person before. And that was the first time he saw one out in the open, and it kind of like hooked him in a little more because he's like tapering into hunting, you know, becoming passionate about it. So he's like, "Oh, dude, it was out in the big time plot, just like milling around out there eating, and then came back." You know, he told the whole story, but just that was cool. That's a success right there on a plot. You get a big buck in daylight eating in it. It's done its job.
Now, did you guys notice the deer kind of bouncing back and forth between the last stand and the buck brunch, or would they focus on one and then go to the other?
I don't know if it's because of just like what was planted first and then, you know what I mean? Like what was planted towards the timber and what was further away, because it's like imagine it being like all CRP and then all timber to the north. And then the top left corner of the CRP, we just notched out a little slot and planted that into it. So all the deer are coming from the timber down to feed. It's a big south-facing slope right there. Mm-hmm. So they come off that south-facing slope to the plot, and they'd always hit the last stand first, but I think that's just because it was first.
That was the first one.
From where they were coming from.
Right.
Because I had a camera sit there all season, and, dude, there's a beautiful doe in there with a big, bright double throat patch, and they're eating. I just remember, and she's there every night. And she might have been the reason that pulled that buck in there, too, and he's in there milling around, so.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something to remember, too. Mm-hmm. Just because you're planting brassicas, I mean, your tonnage is going to come later on once it gets cold, after the frost, and it's really super cold, and your bulbs are sweet then.
Yeah.
Dude, those deer are going to eat the hell out of those tops before they ever get there. I mean, you're planting buck brunch right now.
Yeah.
They're going to be knee-high by October 1st. Sure. I mean, it's going to be thick.
Dude, the bulbs that were down in there on those plots,
they're huge.
Absolutely insane. And, you know, I don't know, does it take them a little bit of time to get used to digging those
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't go out and plant turnips the first year. If the deer have never seen turnips, you got to educate them a little bit. You got to let them get used to it. It's going to take 3 years of planting turnips for them to be like, oh, shit, I like that.
Well, it just,
you know, I mean, it's not just going
to
happen.
Well, they know to, like, just get in there after. Is there something you can do to kind of, like, pull one out and hack a couple of them in half or something, you know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think it just takes one of them to take a little nibble of it and then tell their friends.
Pull it out of the ground.
This is some good shit. Right?
You see, like,
good shit over here.
I hunted with a couple guys that plant big time buck brunch. What? I don't know. 1 year. And I hunted with some other guys that got some plots. And I've seen deer, like, pull the bulb out of the ground with the whole plant.
Chomp the whole thing down,
but I hadn't seen that yet on my properties. But what's up, Joe?
I just choked on my beer a little bit.
Oh yeah, divert. We planted it years ago, back in when I was a youngster, man. Turnips. I don't know what brand or anything like that. And it did seem that, like, too. It took a few years for me to get used to it. Because I remember the first year, my dad's like, they're not touching this.
There's certain things. I mean, wheat, oats, clover.
Right.
They're going to hammer right off the bat. Yeah. But, yeah, turnips are definitely something you got to get them accustomed to.
It seems like once they're used to it, though, or get in there, it's like candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the way we had them last year. We planted them, and it seemed like they would just kind of nibble on them a little bit.
And different strokes for different folks. I mean, you know, you might plant somewhere and...
Well, that's why it's not the only thing in the blend, though, either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's why we have diversity in everything we do.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I think I like talking about... We've talked about that blend a lot, but I think that is a good one to talk about because it's easier for guys that are busy, mm-hmm. like us, that have got a bunch of stuff going on. So you can still do the working man no-till plot with the buck brunch, which is awesome. So.
Well, and that's why I plant like 90% of that stuff, just because I can't get equipment back to my spots where my food plots are.
Yeah.
I just have no access to it.
Dude, you had a good idea. You had a pro tip with your Roundup. You took a little pump sprayer out there.
Yeah, so my where I put in my pot this year, like my access point, I kind of did it for myself and the deer, but it kind of has a 10-foot set-aside around the whole field. So I just sprayed from the food plot to where I have my camera, I sprayed just a line of Roundup. So it just kills a line of grass, and they've been, them deer have been hitting that trail like crazy.
Did the same thing. Shad was with me this morning when I pulled all my guards.
Yep.
Right there by my stand. I know where they're coming in at. Just took some glyphosate in there, which is the main ingredient in Roundup.
Yep.
And just made my own trail. And I've got a border that I planted this year, too, that we're also testing. It'll be out next year that you'll be planting.
That's, I'm excited for that. We planted one brand, like a sorghum type, like fence deal.
Yep.
I love that because our lease is all CRP. Well, it's, you can see into the lease from the county road, and the neighbors on the east side of us just sit on the fence line. So we planted that, and it like worked, but that'll be something once that launches. We'll have to do like a tutorial on.
And that's a whole new ball game when you start playing with the. The
screenings
and everything. I mean, then you real. It's not just planting some clover anymore. It's like, okay, I'm going to plant this here. I'm going to have this break right here.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to have this. I mean, it's just a whole new chess game.
It's like you're building a, it's just like a puzzle piece that you're building, and you're going to try and hunt through it.
Right. It's like you're doing these food plots to attract deer. Now you're taking it to the next level of just shrinking them right down to right where you're at. It's not just, I've got a 5-acre field that's a food plot.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't do a damn thing for you if you got a bow and he's on the other side of a 5-acre field.
No, sure. Yeah.
Now you're shrinking them down.
And I think a lot of that, like that screening stuff, one can help you for, like our buddy Clark, he plants it for access. Mm-hmm. He'll like plant
just
it.
Just so he can get to a stand.
Yeah, and he plants it where he like basically makes himself a hallway to like walk through it so when deer are out in the field feeding, he can still go undetected. Yep. And I think he plants it like pretty wide on each side, so more cover. But there's feed in sorghum like that for deer, right?
Oh, yeah. They'll eat the hell out of that, too. I mean, a lot of guys are putting sun hemp in it now, too.
Oh, really?
And that's a super tall-growing weed, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll browse on that early on. But once it really shoots up, it's going to get really stalky.
Yeah.
If they've been browsing on it, it starts fanning out and bushing out.
Oh,
it's
super,
super thick.
So is Big Time going to have like a Kush blend that you can plant?
Maybe.
That'd be sweet.
Maybe.
I can't give you everything.
Not yet. Just call it.
We're Joe's, always working on something.
Joe, spill the beans, bro.
Big Time OG Kush. Just it's Steve. it's part of your green screen.
OG Kush.
Wiz Khalifa's endorsing it. He picks up hunting.
I actually called my local CEO. Like, dude, just so you know, I'm doing some tests out here with sun hemp. So if you guys are over top with a helicopter, come on out. I'll show you what
it's like. Thermal detection.
Good to know,
and stuff.
Man. I think we're good with you.
Like, I think we're good.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, that's ditch weed, brother. That's funny. Well, that's cool. That's something to look forward to. But, I mean, what other options are there? I mean, the buck brunch is probably the simplest option for the working class person. Yep. What would be some of your go-tos? What's something that you would...
I think,
if you were on a podcast and you were telling people about your fall blends, which ones would you bring up first?
We went over Buck Brunch. We got Last Stand, which is total brassica.
Yep.
The hot one right now is long range. It's sold out. It was hot.
It's still hot. It's just unavailable.
Yeah. The lockdown is kind of the next step. Very, very similar to long range. Take out the radishes and add peas. We got two winter peas in there and a spring fall cool pea,
yeah,
it's going to pop a lot faster. So that's what the deer are going to hit first. It's going to give the other two winter peas time to kind of fan out and everything.
Yeah.
With the oats and winter wheat in there, that's going to give something for the peas to vine up on. And we have turnips for that, too. I mean, just super amounts of tonnage on that, too. That's what we were going for with lockdown and long range,
mm-hmm.
just for that late-season guy who really wants to hammer them hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because, that's where you want to be after the rut.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where that buck's going to be during the rut.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to have to get up and eat.
He's going to have to. He's got to get his energy
much,
back.
As and if much you got as those you
greens
can.
Around, too.
Exactly.
He's going to be hitting those fresh greens.
Yeah, yeah. The kill plot over here that we scouted and did some work around, what do you think will go in there this fall?
That's going to be straight foundation clover.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be just a giant carpet of clover in there.
Awesome.
I might do one end. I'm thinking the south end in last stand.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I haven't fully decided yet, but I think that southern section there where it kind of pools out,
yeah,
that's what we'll have in last stand.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Sweet.
Is that something you think that field? It's a pretty. How many acres is that field?
That's roughly? A 5-acre field.
Wow, it seems so much bigger.
Skinny and just super, super long. I mean, yeah. Look
it's
across
long
that
as
thing.
Shit,
it's
yeah.
Like, God.
Yeah, yeah.
But it bottlenecks right there, so there's good. Plenty of options for when you first look at it, it's like, oh, this is a rifle. Spot.
Yeah.
But where it bottlenecks and where we saw where the deer are coming out at, they're coming mm-hmm. out. It's basically for the listeners to paint a picture, kind of a wishbone. Not a wishbone, just a bone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fatter on
bulbs
both ends.
On each end.
Yeah, bulbs on
yeah.
Bulbus.
Bulbus.
Bulbus on each end.
Yeah, bulbus. So what, when you guys develop a screen or whatever, do you think that's something you'll incorporate into that type of field?
I would. I'd cut it right down the middle.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Absolutely.
Do like a thick row of it that way.
Yeah, right where that ladder stand was.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot it right down the center
that'd
of it.
That'd be really cool.
Yep.
That's we'll a good call,
the field
man.
In half.
Because then like you can use it for access there. Because we when we were scouting, we're like, man, let's talk about access. And it was... It's
that's a prime example of access right,
yeah.
right there.
It's a head scratcher. But yeah, I mean, if you got deer down on the, which would be the west end of the field, right? No, the south end south of the field. So I get turned around here. The south end of the field, you could have deer feeding there. If you have that screen in there, you can get into your stand or whatever if you sneak up the side.
They can be out there already and you're good to go.
That's good. Right. Yes, yeah.
Sneak in there.
Sneak in there.
Do you think it'd be worth it to cut that in thirds? Or do you think it's too much?
You could. I don't think you'd need to.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at 2.5 acres once you split it in two already. So what I would do where we walk that fence line, you do a row right down that fence.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's some round bales right now.
Yep.
And then cut it off right there where that ladder stand was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Like, that'd be money.
Yep.
For sure. But, you know, access and then just from a comfort standpoint for a big buck. You know, mm-hmm. he's not, like, constantly worried about the north end of the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he's down on the south end of the field, like, he can be like, okay, I just got to watch what's right here.
When you guys are out there, you'll see it, or anybody else who hunts on a big field. If they're kind of pushed back on that south end there, they're constantly looking to the north.
Yeah.
They came from the south.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking
they know it's safe that
distance.
Way. They know
exactly.
It's safe to the south because that's the way they came from.
Yep.
It's pretty cool, man. That'll be an awesome setup. But, yeah, I mean, you guys – and by the way, everyone that's listening or anyone that's listening that's interested in getting any Big Ten product, we have code WCB2020. And that works for everything, right, Joe?
Absolutely.
Does that work for merch and everything too?
Yeah. Yep. Everything on the website now.
20% off, mm-hmm. I think, right? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Now, we have had a bunch of listeners messaging me on the website. If you send that little message on the website that comes directly to me – if you're wanting to get the free shipping, you have to go to that retailer's website. You can't order from my website and get free shipping.
Yeah, for example, Ace Hardware.
Ace or True Value.
Oh, I thought it was the same thing.
Nice try.
Saying Ace Hardware.
Nope, True Value.
Isn't it the same thing?
No.
No, totally different.
That's two different companies.
I thought True Value and Ace is like the same shit.
No. Sometimes a hardware store can be an Ace and a True Value, but True Value is their own entity.
Oh, well, see, you can see where I was
We're
confused.
Not an Ace, we're in True Value.
Oh.
So True Value well, right now, you can get free ship to the store.
Okay.
Yeah, go to their website, truevalue.com. On Tractor Supply, you can get free shipping on the 40-pound bag of feed only, because that's the only inline item they have.
Gotcha.
So tractorsupply.com on the 40-pound bag of feed. You can also go to, this is new since we talked last, BassPro.com.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anything they carry, free ship to store.
Free shipping.
So
hot diggity.
That's big.
It's Bass Pro and Cabela's, right?
Bass Pro and Cabela's. Yeah, if you get on the Bass Pro website and you go to choose a store, Cabela's automatically pops up.
Right. Oh,
so whatever's closest to you, either it's Bass Pro or Cabela's, it's going to take you to that store.
Very cool. So everybody, I mean, there's a true value damn near about everywhere.
Every, even if it doesn't say true value on the sign, they might be, you know,
associated with true value. Yep. Right.
Right. Cool, man. So don't message you at 3 in the morning and then bitch about customer service.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Don't message me at 3 a.m. and then at 3:15 tell me I'm an asshole because I haven't responded to you. First and foremost, to the listener who did that.
You're still an asshole, but just not because of that.
Thank you, Shad. He finally opens up. Finally.
Hey, Shad.
This is your – I'm not – this kind is
of
a big time
That was
thing,
kind of
man.
A compliment right there.
Yeah. We don't outsource to India, so you're going to be talking to me. And at some point, I sleep from about 11:30 to 5 every day. You caught me on my off time, so I apologize to you.
Yeah, well, you should have been awake. You should have been awake, Joe.
I woke up at 5:30 to that. Be like, oh, I guess you don't want a new customer because you didn't respond. I'm sorry, man.
Cut me a break here, pal.
Hit me at 5:30. I'll get right back to you.
Right.
It's probably Heath.
Oh, you're the assholes who don't bend his bills for him.
We're going to start doing that. When you make an order from workingclassbowhunter.com, if you would like your bills pre-bent by us, and we'll put butterfly kisses in each package for $65.99 extra.
You should upcharge $5 to bend,
it?
Oh, I will.
It takes me a lot of time to do that shit, you know?
Yeah, $65.99. You want Steve to come in there and fart in each one of your hats before he ships it out? That's $80.
A press to make
it. A press to bend,
the bill perfectly for him.
Like steaming it out with a heat gun from Harbor Freight.
I got one.
I know you do, brother. But no, man, I think anybody that's wanting to get into supplemental feed or fall plots or spring food plots or, you know, whatever, blocks. Yeah,
we do make that feed, too. We're kind of good at that.
You guys got deer corn. We can only get that at
Dunham's.
At Dunham's.
Nice shout out.
Special. Yeah. Special deer corn.
It's special, yeah.
We don't even have a Dunham's anymore where we're at.
Big time deer corn's only available at Dunham's.
There's one in Galesburg, Illinois.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So go get your deer corn there.
It's not cherry flavored, just so you know.
It's just deer corn.
It's just corn.
Well, it's not corn. It's deer corn.
I don't even know what makes it deer corn.
That's why you buy the happy hour.
Well, it's for deer.
That's put the happy hour on it.
The raccoons won't touch it.
Yeah, they know it. Well, you got to make sure you got to staple the bag
to
a tree.
Or anything? Squirrels won't touch it.
Could you guys use it in Illinois if it said raccoon corn?
Probably.
Sure.
It's probably our gray area. That's the thing. I can't do any of this. And that, you know, corn. We talk about this a lot, too. It's like, you know, Doug and Eric get all, and you guys get all these great trail cam photos of, like, inventory from supplemental feed and mineral and all that. And I'm over here, like, I don't really care about trail cam pictures as much. That's why I love those big time cameras. I just want more of them because I have to, it's strength in numbers for me.
Right.
Because I have nothing to bring deer to the camera.
Yeah.
So the more I have, the better my odds are of taking inventory.
Just so you know, while you're in Indiana, while it's legal, I did get you a pair of jeans that are cut super short so your ass cheeks are hanging out.
Mm.
So you can fill a feeder and have your ass hanging out while you do it.
Fuck yeah, and you'll put me in the catalog.
That's right.
Yeah. That's how he gets in the catalog.
It might be the cover.
Throw back.
That's what I'm talking, I'll throw back for you. with a bag of big time just out here. Yeah, that. So for the record, too, if you see me dumping supplemental feed of big time out, I'm in Indiana. So before you get all froggy, just check yourself before you wreck yourself.
You see Kurt with his cheeks out.
Yeah, dude. You see these cheeks out, you know I'm out of state.
Well, sweet cheeks over there.
Dude, you got a phone call coming in?
That's not good. Hey, go grab us some beers while you're up, would you?
Yeah, grab some beers. Put yourself to work.
Make yourself useful, Doug.
It's a hot call. What have we missed?
Man.
We're efficient.
We haven't talked much about Joe getting electrocuted today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, our little adventure that we took.
We're all scouting it. By the way, it's pouring rain.
Yeah.
By the way, we're pretty good at crossing creeks.
Probably the best.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah, you're 100% right.
Probably the best.
I haven't seen anybody
better.
We did
it very well.
I didn't fall in this creek this time.
The worst part was, right when we got back to the apartment here, it quit raining.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, that was a long walk. I mean, we couldn't take the trucks, and we were kind of walking the boundaries anyway. And
right,
yeah.
You know, we butt right up to a state park that's no hunting, and you know, where I'm kind of showing the guys go, no go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
The kind of perimeter.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, yeah, that fence was hot.
Well, okay, we got to paint the picture because we checked it. So, all right.
Two other spots.
We checked it two other spots, but it ended up being this thing. You only grabbed two beers?
He's got four.
Oh, you got four. Good work. Sorry, bud.
Hey, Christmas.
You didn't grab that one I dropped earlier, did you?
Best smile he just had.
He's like, fuck you, Kurt. I got four of them, you bitch.
That's a suicide beer. Who's getting it?
I'll take it.
That's, see, water don't blow up.
Let me open it.
That's true.
Yeah. So we checked the fence. We've been, ever since we got here, for no reason, and we should just be grateful for our partnership with Big Time, but we're trying to get them to buy us a short bus. And
trying. I think we already did it.
Well, yeah. It's ours now, confirmed.
It counts if Joe got electrocuted and not Eric, right? You guys still get the bus?
Yeah.
Well, Eric checked the first fence. We said, hey, if he checks the fence, then you gotta buy us a bus.
And I checked it.
Which I didn't agree to. It just kind of happened, and Eric grabbed it.
I saw it in your eyes.
I mean, you heard him agree to it, right?
He kind of agreed. It was a nod.
Dude, you non-verbally agreed, for sure.
It was a visual nod.
Yeah, see, he did that.
So he grabbed it.
He did it again.
He's agreeing to it.
So Eric grabs this fence, and we're good. Then we hang a couple more cameras. We cross a creek unscathed and didn't get one drop of water on us because we're the best. And then
we skied right across the thing, didn't we?
Yeah, dude, it was like we had Heelys on, just water, like just jetted right across it. So we get up to where the fence was, and you're trying to open the gate back to where we're coming back behind the facility here. And you must have, the gate's, it's a metal gate.
It had to connect. That's
the gate
only
ground to hit the wire and grounded.
And that my Achilles hurts.
Yeah.
Like it's like.
It jolted through your whole leg.
Jolted a little bit, yeah.
That was awesome.
And to those of you that
rattled something,
want to know what Joe looked like when the electrocution shot through his kneecap, out of his heel, you know, through the wet pants. If you know the band Primus and the singer bass player Les Claypool, what he does on stage with his right leg as he kind of bounces it up and down, that was Joe in pain. And it was very hilarious.
So you almost got shot in the foot with a gun.
There was four faces of shock, and then it all went to dumbass and started laughing. It is what it is.
Well, I'm sitting there messing around with the fence. I didn't get zapped, and I was like, ooh, I'm glad you figured that out. That was live. So
he's a good test monkey.
It worked out great.
Yeah, how did you not get zapped if he did? That's weird.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wasn't really, like, touching it. Like, I wasn't, like, making direct.
I think we need to go back.
Try it again?
Let's test
for science.
Let's do it again, yeah. Science, now that we're dried off.
Put your nuts
on. Get a few more beers and we'll all try it. We'll all just hold the fence.
Put your mustache on it.
I don't want to lose it.
It'll only be a part.
It'll make it stronger.
It would just curl. You'd get the handlebars automatically.
What happened to your mustache? From friction.
The power of Dale comes out. That's awesome. It's a 200-inch deer.
Start racing.
Born.
And just to kind of paint that picture, like, I'm really excited about you guys coming over and everything because this year has been a wild year, as everybody knows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
I mean, sales and my intern that typically did all this work for us on checking cameras, phone feeders, he left. His dad had passed away.
Oh, that's
bad. He was actually one of my dealers for Big Time. His son worked for us. His dad passed away due to COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid's 17 years old. He said, I'm going to go fill the shoes, and God bless him. He's down there selling the hell out of Big Time. And
that's awesome.
Food plot seed and just kicking ass. I talked to him quite a bit. That being said, I don't have time to go out and do it myself anymore.
Yeah.
And so this is the Wild West right now. Like, you know, these deer on the wall, 200-inch, multiple 200-inchers have been taken off of it. All I have right now is history.
Right.
And there's a lot of good history on this farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pumped that you guys got to come out. We got to walk it together for the first time.
We're super grateful you invited us, man. Yeah, that does mean a lot.
It's going to be fun.
If I lived closer, I would be the dude. I would volunteer to just like help check cameras and scout and take people out and stuff like that, you know, but it's just tough to do.
I'm going to make a point that, you know, kind of mid, late afternoons on Thursdays, I'm going to try to get out there and check as many cameras as I can and just make a big run of it and everything. And
yeah,
that'll be fun.
Do progress reports, and hopefully we can get back and
be cool, man. I've never hunted in Indiana, but it's going to be cool to like come out here because I'm thinking I'm going to do like a, you know, Eric and I kind of talked like do a weekend, a month or something roughly, and
come out, just get away for a bit, and it'll kind of be like camp a little, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so. The transition you'll see here, we always have some giant show up late season.
Really?
The hungrier they get, they're going to come off that park. The acorns are gone.
Yeah.
We got all the food sitting here in the food plots.
There it is.
Come check her out.
I like it.
Come on.
Well,
the grocery
come
store.
On with me.
We'll see what happens. I might have to come out for an extended time. And, hey, it's going to be a great time to do some podcasts, too.
Yeah.
Coming in like once a month, we can crank out some big time shows.
A little progress action. Come in early for ATA. If ATA actually happens.
Oh, shit, because that'll be in Indianapolis.
I'm just saying.
Oh, we could do that. Oh. We can make that happen.
Indy's right up the road, and we're still in season then.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. When is ATA this year?
Is it the second weekend of January?
It's always the second weekend.
Like around the 10th. We go out January 3rd.
So it'd be the weekend before.
It just depends. There's a good chance that I might be in Wyoming. I have a 10-day shutdown for deer. I might be in Wyoming again, but I don't know. But, fuck, I don't know. I get an extra week of vacation this year, but it's January 25th. That's when it starts.
My birthday.
It is?
It is my birthday.
No shit.
My birthday.
Bitching.
Yeah, damn.
Come on over. We'll do shed hunting.
All right.
Early.
Shed hunting.
The one deer that dropped one antler we'll go look for.
We'll find
the
spike sheds out here. Yeah.
You leave those alone.
Oh, hey, I was going to give them
those. Those are for daddy.
That's my rattling horn.
Those are for daddy.
Those are my rattling horns for the spikes. He's rattling the spikes.
You don't even know.
That's funny, man.
That is hilarious.
Well, goddamn, was this the most efficient podcast ever? Because we've only...
No. We got some more to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, now we're off.
Now we can be whatever.
Now we're off big time. I can stop being professional.
Yes.
What really, I'm not going to say perturbs me. But
that's a giant word there.
Deterb?
I know. Pitturbs.
Pitturb.
It's an Indiana thing. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Cool. You know, cool. I didn't get to make it to the shoot this year.
Yes.
I told Kurt, I was like, there's one thing that's going to prevent me from coming, and that's my daughter being born. Lo and behold, she gets born like 4 days before the shoot. I'm like, yep, not coming.
That's still kind of a lame excuse because that was 4 days later.
You should be happy about
this.
Yeah,
you already got to see her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I send my hetero life mate here, Shad, who a lot of people don't understand why we're even friends, and I question it myself.
Yeah.
You actually don't
know. But now all of WCB land is in love with this trad dude.
Yeah.
That's all I hear about. I mean, Austin Chandler's shooting a trad bow now and talking to Shad all the time. Doesn't talk to me anymore.
Hey, man.
Hey, you're old news.
I'm just phased out.
You're old news, man.
You picked up the old rock star that shoots a trad bow and roller skates.
Here's the thing. We're just going to go.
Roller skates?
Skateboards.
Hey, this has officially become. We're going to do two podcasts, but I think we're just going to keep rocking. This has become.
Transition it.
To the bullshit and traditional part. You know, two of this. I didn't know what I was going to say.
I was
going to speak Spanish, but I don't know Spanish.
We went through that pretty quick. I mean, might as well just rock it out.
Part dos?
We're doing good. Part dos. Deuce.
El parto dos.
Yeah, you were. You came in. Everyone's like, what's this big tent in here? Who's this cool tattooed dude that's got all these traditional
bows? You're not Joe.
And
he's
people
so
like,
hairy.
How much is this is at the working class bow hunter shoot? Hey, how much are the bags of big time? Chad's like, take one. What?
They're free.
They're free. Have them. It's for you. You're shooting here, aren't you? You're at the shoot. Yeah, take a bag. Everyone's like, oh, really?
I can have a bag? I'm like, you can have two. I brought 1,000 pounds of it.
Yeah. So
please, take it.
Immediately, he became the candy man of Big Time. And
a wealth of information about Big Time, too, which was probably why Joe was getting 3 a.m. messages, because I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
email Big Time.
The best time is the messages at
you want
3
a bag or not.
I'm like, I use Buck Brunch. I don't have to maintain it. I throw it out. It works.
Yeah. No, I mean, you are right, Joe. A lot of love was had for Shad.
It's just weird.
It's man.
It's just
what was it,
weird.
3 years ago, I finally got you into shooting a compound?
You didn't. Finally get me. I gave you a heart attack because we went down to see Josh and Kristen. You were taking your new bow to get set up, and I'm just looking around, and
he won't give me the credit.
You didn't do anything.
I sensed the runaround a little here.
You didn't do anything. You've been trying to work your evil ways on me forever, but I'm not very receptive to those advances.
Wheels are for cars.
That's right. But no, we were in there.
I forgot about that one.
I've shot a
I don't like change.
I've shot I've shot traditional archery exclusively since 1993.
God damn, son.
Yeah, I'm kind of old. But
you don't look old.
It's rock and roll and skateboarding and bad decisions, man. It keeps you young. It keeps you young. People think it puts you in a grave, but evidently, you just become a young grandpa. That's all fair.
Yeah, bad decisions might have led up to that.
Yeah. there's a lot of history of really good bad decisions with Joe Humphries and I, so we have a lot of stories.
How far apart in age are you guys? The listeners need to know.
How old are you? We're brothers, according to when Gander Mountain was open. I was getting the family discount because he thought we were related.
I'm 38.
Yeah, so it's just 7 years.
Oh, not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
No, I can't be his dad or anything, but
no,
it's the same distance to me and my wife. I got her when she was 18.
Yeah, I can't be her dad.
God damn.
She was young.
Well played.
She was.
Well played.
There's a funny story there, too.
But. You're a genius of marketing.
Pause that. Just about Jamie. I took her hunting because she was working at Gander with me.
Yeah.
I was 25. I thought she was older than 18. I really. She was 18, for the record.
Yeah,
you know those barely legal movies.
Yeah, we shoot a doe, and my buddy came over with his truck to come down to help us out. And she's like, "What do you need me to do?" I'm like, "Just you can be the cheerleader.
Just look pretty."
Yeah, exactly. And Gavin, my buddy's like, "How old are you?" She's like, "I'm 18. I graduated last spring." I was like, "Oh shit.
Oh, no."
He looks at me and goes, "Well played."
Nice.
We've been together ever since, so.
Nice. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
She didn't realize that was a package deal, though, whenever she got with Joe. That
she got shed, too.
She
loves that.
Joe's like a single father with me, so it's
a single father.
Yeah, you get the stepchild as well. That's
so. Let's talk about the shoot though too, like, because this will lead into like what brought us to want to do a traditional podcast or segment or whatever with you on the show, because you had what I love about you, because you were sitting there with all the big time tent, mm-hmm. and all the goodies, and then you had all your traditional bows set up.
Well, I had a few of them.
Not all of them, a few of them.
One of them I brought because I was sponsoring a giveaway for the shoot for Kalamazoo Bow Works.
Yeah.
So I brought my Kalamazoo bow with me.
Which is awesome of them, by the way.
I also brought a couple other bows that mean a lot to me, just so people can see them and shoot them and have some fun. So.
Well, what I liked about it, anytime anyone would walk up, you're just like, "Hey, check these out." Like, or because when people walk up, they're looking at them,
mm-hmm.
And you're just like, "Pick it up. You want to shoot it?" And like, I think everyone was kind of like, "Whoa, really?"
Yeah, caught off guard by that.
Yeah, right. So a bunch of people shot them. I shot them.
We all did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had a little long-range traditional
Dana Pace hit at 100 yards with Gramps, my memorial bow to my grandfather.
Yeah, so. Dana and his son, they're into the traditional stuff.
I know. I'm actually, when you guys go back, I'm sending a long bow. It's actually, we call it Little Gramps, wife's Robertson stick bow that also has my grandfather's ashes in it.
That's awesome.
She can't. It's too much weight for her to shoot anymore. It's 47-pound bow.
Yeah,
she still shoots, but she shoots about 27 pounds now.
Yeah,
she has no interest in hunting anymore. But that bow has never taken an animal.
Oh yeah.
And Dana was talking about how he really wants to get one. Really wants to get one. And I was like, man, I've got one that really needs the right guy to take it out. And I was like, if you will actually hunt with this bow, I will be more than happy to send it back. And let you shoot it.
That's freaking awesome.
You're going to give him it?
No, he's going to use it.
Oh,
I'm not giving it to him. It's got my grandfather's ashes.
Yeah.
But
you can give that away.
No, but it needs to be in the woods. I mean,
draw blood.
There's still, even I've got my grandfather's old Bear Takedown, 70s Bear Takedown.
Yeah.
And it was his favorite bow.
So it's almost like traditional archery. There's kind of like, I don't know what word I'm looking for. There's almost like a spirit to him a little bit in that, like, especially a bow like Gramps, your bow,
mm-hmm.
which can you explain, what do you mean? Like when you say my grandfather's ashes are in that bow, like what does that mean?
So what that means, the backstory is that my grandfather raised me,
mm-hmm.
and he gave all of the grandchildren the opportunity to, you know, experience the outdoors with him.
Yeah.
And he put a bow in my hand when I was 5 years old. And I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that he understood the direction that it would take my life.
Yeah.
And he was my best friend. For 36 years, he was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really long battle with cancer. And when he passed away, he was cremated. And I talked to – his favorite bowyer was Dick Robertson,
mm-hmm.
From Robertson Stick Bows. And I happened to be friends with his daughter, Yana. And when Grandpa passed away, I had this idea of having a bow made for him with his ashes and the bow limbs. And where the ashes are at, you can't see them. But the core of the bow limb is bamboo. And then there's myrtle laminates on top of the bamboo, and then there's clear fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
His ashes are between the bamboo and the myrtle.
Oh, no kidding.
So that's why I call it Gramps. And it, even on the bow, it says still hunting with Gramps.
Cool, man.
So, and that's
it's cool. A beautiful bow. I've shot it.
It's. I've bought other bows since that bow was made. And it's a kind of a heavy bow for me to hunt with at times. I hunted with it exclusively for a long time after he passed away. And I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of step away from it for a minute. But I've never had a bow shoot as good as that bow.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever magic Dick works when he builds a bow, he went over the top with it on that one. Because it's just, it's hard to miss with that bow.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like I said, Dana doesn't even shoot traditional, and he hit that big block target at 100 yards.
Dana's one of those guys, have you ever met Dana, Joe?
No, we've never met.
So we have Team WCB. It used to be Team Hang and Bang. We call it Team WCB mm-hmm. now. And we have a killer group of people on that team. And they're kind of like our support team. They support us. Like, we try to give back to them. And great people. But Dana's on that and super proud to have him a part of that. But that dude is just wired for the outdoors, him and his family. And he... Dude, he's such a good dude. He's such a cool. You'd love him, man.
I've heard him on before, and
he's a shed antler genius, dude, but he's also a big buck killer. Yeah, he's like the shed god. He's a good dude. He's a gnarly type guy. Like when you meet him, you're kind of like, he's our people. You know what I mean? You know, certain people have that certain like edge to their attitude and the edge of the way they carry themselves, where you're like, this is one of us.
Him and I've became pretty pretty.
But you know exactly, he has that vibe to him.
He's got a fire in him, and his son Cam.
He has the same
thing, like
yeah.
at this year's shoot, when you know I saw Dana, I had never met Cam before. I met Dana.
Mm-hmm. I've only met Cam a couple times. I'd like to get him in on a podcast to talk about him learning traditional.
He's awesome,
archery.
Man. And when Dana come walking, I was like, "Hey, man!" And I saw Cam. I was like, "I like your bow." He just was carrying a recurve, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, the previous shoot, I was the only guy there with a longbow, and
makes you a popular dude there, man.
I don't know about popular, but you stand out, right?
Well, people are intrigued, and you're the first dude like, shoot it.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
everybody's they hungry for shoot. That next, not next level, but
it's the next layer of interest there, you know?
You'll never have more fun missing shit than you will.
There is not a more accurate statement than that.
Yeah,
even
I mean,
if you miss, you're just like, holy, all right, I gotta get better. This is crazy.
It's so fun, and which is why... I originally went to because I was full on into compound. My grandpa didn't understand it, but he was feeding the habit. I mean, I had, you know, the site that I had on my the last compound I had was as a PSE, and this was in 1993. My gramps bought it for me for my graduation present. I graduated in 93. And I had the site that I had on it was made by Toxonic at the time. I don't even know if they're still a company, but it had like a 10 inch arm on it. And,
yeah.
You know, I had a 4-power scope on the end of that, just ridiculous stuff. And my grandfather and all his friends shot traditional, and they're just like, what are you doing? You know, you don't need all this crap to shoot a bow. And I was like, you guys don't know. You don't know, right? You're just old people.
Yeah.
And then
give it time.
They're having fun. You know, we would get together all the time, and they're shooting out in the yard, and they had a skull can lid on a target at like, I don't know, 12 yards.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They're drinking
beers and they're having fun shooting arrows at this thing. And Gramps happened to pick up an old recurve at a yard sale. And back in this time, you could find really good, like 1970s bear recurves at yard sales for $15, $20, $25.
Crazy.
He picked this one up, and it happened to be a really good bear Super Kodiak. And another buddy of his who makes strings, you know, made him a string for it, and they're shooting it. And I started playing with it, and I just – something about it I fell in love with. Yeah. And I ended up hitting that skull can lid that night, mm-hmm. and I was just hooked. Like,
really?
I was hooked. I started the hunt with it that year, kind of gave up, went back to the compound. This was in 93. The next year, I just sold it. I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't turn back until 3 years ago. I bought a compound again for the first time on a whim with the story that Joe was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He talked you into it, right? And
he talked me into it, yeah.
And for the record, I don't get a big head because you don't have enough hair to cover it anyway. But
no, I've got male pattern
this baldness. Dude still covers that traditional mindset of that perfect shot.
Yeah.
He's not going to shoot 50, 60 yards. He's not going to shoot 40 yards. If
not as an animal.
No, that's what
a
I'm
practice,
saying.
Practice, but right. not at an animal.
Yeah, you'll play around right. long range, but
yeah.
It's a close game, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he's like, the dude has passed Booners at 15 yards because he wasn't feeling the shot.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have that put the rage in the cage type attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's why I respect the hell
yeah,
out of him.
Yeah, that's a big, the, dude, people like that, it's, you know, hats off to you.
Cause
it's, that's honestly, a crazy mindset.
Well, so learning how to do this.
That deer he passed, and I'm like, God, dude.
Learning how to do this, like, you have to get close, and you have to change your mindset, you know. 15, 20 yards is far. Like, you have to change that mindset.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when...
Dude, 20 yards feels so far with a recurve. Like, for me, like, 5 yards, like, okay, I'm still missing, but I'm hitting the target. 20 is like 50 with a compound.
It feels like... It can be. When you practice at it, it's not as bad.
I'm not familiar with it like you are. You know?
But when I'm talking about a live animal, and I'm going to kind of turn this into why I like you guys so much and what kind of drawn me to you guys, is I'm a very ethics-first bow hunter. One of the organizations I belong to is called the PBS, the Professional Bow Hunter Society, and it's an ethics-first bow hunting society.
Yeah.
The how and the why is much greater than the size of the antlers or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So taking that and then that mindset of learning how to get close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting close is what makes you a good woodsman.
Yeah.
Woodsmanship is something that's somewhat lost anymore. Not completely. There are a lot of people figuring it out.
Yeah.
But getting close is where you learn that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really not hard to get within 50 yards of an animal. It's not. Some people think it is, but that's because they've never tried to get close.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say close, like, I want to see how close I can get to them without them knowing I'm there. Like, that's a big thing to me. I don't care if I kill them. That game of chess to just see how close I can get, I love it. I live for it. And I've sent this man, Joe, pictures and videos of deer at 4-5 yards. That have no idea I'm there.
And I'm not even a clue.
Well, at my house quite a few times. I mean, we went back and did the old style, you know, lay down log blind type deal. I mean,
I love deadfalls.
The dude's got bobcats coming 3 yards from him, and he's sending me videos of these bucks that are walking right up next to him and everything. And
no shit.
In his predator camo.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like,
yeah, I just wasn't feeling it.
It was
a 7 point. He's got 5 too many points on him.
Yeah, it's too big. It's too big.
I need a Y buck or a
he
spike.
He was too big.
Yeah, I don't.
He did shoot his first buck with his trad bow at my house, if I recall.
Yeah, I did.
That was wild.
My first antler deer with a
that
longbow.
That was an emotional day right there.
Was at Joe's house.
That's cool, man.
And then he bitched at me because he's like, this is why I can't have big deer, because it was a year and a half old 7-pointer.
I did not say that. No, that
here
was...
Here we go.
Unless he's a 3.5-year-old mid-160.
That was an awesome day. It was a tough blood trail.
We had 3 drops of blood.
Okay.
But it was one of those deals where, you know, knowing your ground and everything and knowing where those deer go.
Yeah, yeah.
I was starting to lose hope, but I wasn't going to let him know that, but jumped up on a log. I mean, and the deer didn't go, I mean, what was it? 150 yards?
He went exactly
when you
where
got no blood, 150 yards is a long
so
damn
there
life.
Was
oh, yeah.
It was one of the
That's
only,
a scary feeling.
The only deer I've ever shot with a bow that didn't have an exit wound. And it wasn't because the arrow wasn't sharp enough or heavy enough or the deer kind of, it was broadside and then kind of quartered to me right as I was shooting. And it was a very close shot. It was 7 or 8 yards,
mm-hmm.
but from 15, 17 feet up. It's a weird angle.
Yeah. Sure.
So when he cocked from broadside to kind of quartering towards me, and I'm not recognizing that at the time, my focus is on the spot where I want to shoot him at.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't notice that little switch. So the arrow went in perfect where I was looking at, but it buried back into his stomach and never came out.
Yeah, what had happened, he went through one lung. I believe he clipped the other lung.
Through the liver into
through
the stomach.
Through the liver and lodged into the stomach.
Stomach.
What killed that deer was every time that deer breathed in, the air was going through the lungs and bloating up the stomach. When we walked up on him, he looked like freaking Dumbo, man. I had never seen anything like it. So no exit.
Oh, wow.
And it was crazy.
And I told Joe whenever, because after I make a shot, I'm very attentive. I'm colorblind, so I don't see blood well. But so I've trained myself over the decades of hunting to, you know, I listen a lot. I was like, dude, this thing ran in the cornfield, did a loop around me, and I stopped hearing sound right here, which was, 30, 40 yards behind the stand, maybe at the most. And that's exactly what he did, which we gave him some time because we couldn't find blood a little bit.
Yeah.
And, Joe was – they had logged it back there, didn't they?
Yeah, they had logged
it. So Joe was walking up on these big hardwood deadfalls, and he just starts clapping. And I'm like, what? Because I'm 50, 60 yards away.
I gave him the slow clap.
Yeah, he just starts clapping. And I come barreling through the woods, and he sees, he's like, dude, that is the biggest small buck ever because his body was so bloated out.
That's awesome, man. I do think you have, and I don't know to what, because I know Chandler's talked about it, but maybe the shoot was the thing that like kicked him into the heavy traditional archery mind state. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were there. You were the traditional influencer there. Chandler bought
a really nice stalker.
Yeah. He brought it over a few weeks ago and was shooting. And I have an old I should have brought it, man. I didn't think about it. I got it out and started shooting it a little bit with them. It's an American, like a mid-1970s American archery. It's like a refurbished one I bought. And I like that bow. Shooting his, it's a lot smoother, kind of like an old-school compound versus new-school compound.
There's a big
still
difference.
Fun. Yeah, but still fun. And then, but Chandler is, he shoots, what do you say? Daily he's shooting that bow.
There's been a lot of texts back and forth between Chandler and I.
I think he's shooting like 100 arrows a day or something like that out of that.
That's crazy.
That's a long bow, right? Fun.
I can't remember whether he got the longbow limbs or the recurve limbs on it.
I thought he said longbow, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, it's a beautiful three-piece stalker. I do remember that. Yeah. He sent me some pictures of it, and I hooked him.
It's got the click when he gets to his anchor.
Oh, he's got a clicker on it?
Yeah.
That's really good for new people.
It's
really good if you have target panic, too, because it gets your mindset. It's just a little trigger inside your mind to let you know when you're at full draw.
Yeah, I think I would like to get a nice one and maybe start dabbling. There's just some shit I want to do with my compound first. Yeah. And then I feel like once I accomplish kind of like my bucket list of compound stuff, then I think I'll probably like move to a traditional equipment and then start like checking off that buck. I think the cool thing to do, one, you know, kill a big buck, right, with traditional equipment, but kill a spot and stock antelope with a recurve.
No, it's done every year.
I know it is, but it's fucking crazy. Badass. So
that's
bad motherfuckers out there doing that.
In the world I run in mostly, because I'm really new to the modern compound world.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the things that all the things that you guys do, it's been done for a long time with traditional archery.
Right.
And the guys who do it are, they're just amazing woodsmen. And
I can't remember which version I have, a traditional journey, traditional record book through Pope and Young.
Through Pope and Young, yeah.
And that's a cool book to flip through.
Yeah.
To see like all the record animals that were put in there. It's like, man, all with traditional equipment. Mm-hmm. It's badass.
And it's
savages.
It's as hard as people think it is. It's really not.
It just takes a commitment of knowing your equipment is what it is.
It's so much harder for me. And you've watched me shoot a compound. Mm-hmm. It's so much harder for me to shoot a compound than it is to shoot a longbow. Because I have to think about everything I do when I shoot a compound. But it's made me a better shot with my traditional equipment.
Yeah. I feel the same way when I don't shoot traditional equipment very often. But I feel like a lost, like I'm lost. Like I feel like just such a noob. And I am.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world.
But it's still fun.
World.
Still a ton of fun.
And that's why I do it. I shoot archery. I genuinely love archery. Mm-hmm. All aspects of it. I love it.
Yeah.
I've done it my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a special place for traditional archery and traditional bow hunting in general. Like, that's...
I have a book that I bought when I... So I've been a Pope and Young measurer for 10 or 11 years now. And when
you got to measure my button does, too.
I can measure your button does, man. I'll tell you. Only if they're two-year-olds.
I don't know. We found the world record button doe.
Out here, yeah.
Yeah, deadhead.
We need to take a picture of that.
For sure. Yeah. I think it's called... I'm drawing a blank on the name of the book. I think it might just be The History of the Bow and Arrow. It was written by Saxon Pope.
Yeah.
I started reading. I need to finish Ishii.
Yeah.
He talks about that. Have you read that? Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've read that.
I know all about it, man.
Yeah.
I've got a library of old books. Like, if you guys happen to stop by the house at any point in time, like, you can.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of cool old books, man. That's
really.
Yeah. And there's some. If you ever get a chance to listen to or read The Witchery of Archery, that's.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Witchcraft?
Maurice Thompson, man. He's from Indiana.
Witchcraft.
It's I think it was written in the late 1800s.
Huh? If I run in the bathroom, is there more Busch Lights?
Yeah.
There's
two more.
Uh-oh. That's enough.
We're going to fight over them.
I'm the idiot who just got a 12-pack. I'm
Indian
sorry.
Indian leg wrestle?
Yeah, Joe's a newbie over here.
Working class bow hunters. Like, it'll be enough. No, it won't, Joe.
I haven't even been around you guys that long, and I knew it wasn't enough.
I mean,
tall boys.
Simple math.
Do you need the...
Some man cans?
Oh, it just got weird.
Oh,
that was nice.
No, he has filling there. It's just from the thigh down. There's no filling.
Yeah.
Electric shock.
Yeah, but like at the shoot when I shot your bow, like I went up there and I had no... I don't know what I'm doing. I've mm-hmm. shot traditional bows before, but, you know, it's like, okay, you pull back and you let go. And the whole... You explained to me like the three fingers below or one above...
Yeah, there's different types of shooting. There's a split finger. You can shoot three under.
What do you?
Because you asked me something about how I shoot my compound
mm-hmm.
to determine where to put my fingers.
Well, most people who shoot a compound are used to shooting a sight pin, and so if you shoot three under and anchor a little higher, you can use the point of the arrow as like a gap shooting method,
right?
It's a very effective way to do it. There's a lot of people who do it. Probably most of the top traditional archery shooters
shoot three under.
Shoot well, like competition wise.
Sure,
they shoot that because gap shooting is just easier. And there's as much as simple as a recurve or longbow is. You can make it as complicated as a compound.
As a compound,
if you want to dive into it that way,
right?
And the competition archers, they're there. I'm not there. But I've always shot split finger, which is one on top of the nock, two underneath. I anchor with my pointer finger in the corner of my mouth, and there's not much of an anchor. Like, all
like is that just like kind of a preference thing, or is there
it's
a
just
reason?
How I learned.
How you learned okay. it?
Yeah, I was a teenager when I learned how to do that.
Sure.
And it's just what felt natural to me,
right.
And that's just how I learned how to do it. Yeah. So I don't really see the point of my arrow when I'm drawing. I just focus on the area that I want to shoot,
mm-hmm.
and I try to make that area as small as possible.
Right.
Which can be really hard on, you know, if you're shooting at a deer, to not shoot at a whole deer or a bear or anything, and to make that very, very small.
Unless I miscounted.
Right.
There was four in there. What are you talking about?
That's pretty close.
I can't handle the man cans.
Me?
Well, you can't count.
I got the one that I dropped on the tile floor earlier.
For the record, I think we got the last round of tall boy corn cans Indiana.
Dude, I still haven't tried Busch Apple. Sorry, I came back with beers and I probably diverted the entire great conversation.
No, it's fine. We were just talking about the way to anchor and stuff like that.
Yeah. God, I feel so lost. But it's interesting because I don't know shit about it.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, because your grip's got to come in play. I mean, everything just like a compound. Like, probably the angle you hold the bow, because you kind of...
It's called canting.
Canting a little bit. Like, how far do you can it? Where's your grip at? Where's your anchor?
And that's just all through, like, you figure out what's comfortable for you.
Sure. I mean, just like shooting a compound, too, you're going to feel comfortable how you shoot your, you know, some people shoot a compound different. Everyone shoots it different.
I probably shoot it different than all you guys because I really don't, like, I'm learning as I shoot a compound.
Well, and that's how we are with the traditional bows. Yeah. You know, we don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just out there flinging arrows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let her fly. Send it.
That's right.
I do notice, I don't know if you guys, what you guys talked about when I was gone, but.
Talked about Joe.
Even
with compounds and traditional equipment, like, there's a difference between the dude who's very nonchalant, and I know it's the same with traditional equipment, I'm sure, that just the guy's like, oh, I'm on the paper plate, I'm good, or whatever, I'm in the circle, and then you have your guys that are very conscious of consistent acre points. They know their arrow weight. They care a little bit more about accuracy.
I really used to be that guy, probably. Probably when I first met you, I was that way. I was
with,
like,
your recurve equipment.
Yeah, with traditional. It's like, if I could keep it in an 8-inch circle, like, I was fine, right? Like,
yeah.
I didn't look at it as I was trying to win archery tournaments. I was trying to hunt animals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What he's saying is, I made him better after I came along.
That's what it's looking like.
Did you just admit to that?
He did. He made me better.
Oh.
He made me better.
So, I mean.
But that all changed as I grew.
It was the night you rode my boat home, or my truck home.
Oh, yeah, for my 30th
birthday. We'll get into that. We'll get into stories later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my 30th birthday was an event.
30 shots of Jaeger.
Ooh, that's a bad time.
Oh,
he rode my truck home. When I say rode, I mean R-O-W-E-D, with oars in the back of my truck.
Oh,
I found him. I found him back there when I woke up because I was drunk, and he stuffed me in the bed of the truck.
That sounds like a terrible time.
It was a great time.
That's going to be a whole other section of this. Because stick to traditional right now.
Yeah.
Is that the third shift files?
We won't get into when we tried to fight the Indianapolis Colts offensive
line. Didn't try to fight anything. I was having a good time, and you told me it was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
And when I didn't listen, you go, oh, I guess we're getting our ass kicked tonight.
Right.
That was the night that we bought the, what was the cheap wine?
All the Boone's Farm?
Boone's Farm for everybody in the bar.
Anyway, get
back to your boat.
I used to drink a lot.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
So what would you say is easier to shoot, a longbow or a recurve?
Just depends on the bow, man.
Is it?
So my grandfather's old Bear Takedown, it's a recurve. A magnesium riser recurve, means a metal riser on the recurve. I can shoot that bow as good as anything, but I prefer longbows. But my gramps, my longbow, my takedown longbow. I mean, that's,
break down the difference. What is the difference between a recurve and a longbow?
The limb profile.
Okay.
A recurve will actually curve back, away from you, where the longbow, the end of the bow limbs come towards you.
Okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong here. Does a recurve, does it already have energy built into the limbs, or easier? Is it more efficient?
It's going to be easier to draw because there's multiple curves in the limb.
Okay.
So I guess that'd be the easiest way to say it. So where the limb curves back, you're actually pulling, the limb is working at the riser and it's working at the limb tips as well.
Okay.
And there's different, I mean, like if you get a static recurve where the limb profile is even curved more, then, you know, you got more working limb there as well.
So there's more energy built up in the limbs.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
Okay.
There's a lot to learn about this.
The energy of it, and this is one of the things that I transferred to shooting a compound, you know, bow weight and energy and all that thing is nothing if you don't have an arrow that is heavy enough to do the job.
Right.
So I've shot, even when I first started shooting a compound again, I shot heavy arrows just because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't like shooting lightweight arrows. I don't feel the animal deserves that. If I screw up or the animal moves, which they tend to do,
yeah,
it's not a target. They don't stand still. And that's why I don't shoot far at live animals.
Yeah.
If you hit a shoulder blade, I want to make sure that my arrow has enough ass in it to at least get through a shoulder blade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they move. I mean, they move.
Yeah.
I move. We make, you know, things happen.
Why do they move? That's some bullshit.
Yeah, it is kind of a rip-off.
If they didn't move.
If they just stood still. If they just stood still.
Was it 2 years ago you sent me the picture? He blows through a doe.
Yeah.
There's a sapling, what, 4 inches?
Possibly.
Probably 4-inch diameter. The arrow goes through the doe, goes through the sapling, and it's just sticking out the other side.
So no way.
I think I got one.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's impressive.
How far was it? 10 yards.
It was 8.
Did you get the arrow out of the sapling?
Yeah.
The sapling was 10 yards.
That was the the third animal I killed with the same broadhead.
No shit. Yeah. What are you shooting for a broadhead?
VPA Terminators. It's a 200 grain.
Terminator.
I shoot 200 grains broadhead. It's a three-blade broadhead. It's made in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Sweet.
It's cut on contact. I hand sharpen them all. They come pretty sharp out of the package, but I don't trust that. I don't trust that with anything.
That's fair.
I hand sharpen them all to where they can shave. And that's the beautiful thing about shooting those, man, is that if and I've never bent the blade on one.
Yeah,
but you can just resharpen it.
You can clean it up. You can resharpen it, put it on another arrow, and go again. Like I said, I shot four animals with the same broadhead, and the last one was a spring turkey, and I retired it after that because it was the first spring turkey I ever killed with a bow.
That's cool, man.
So, yeah.
It's
Was that the turkey that we had passed up the morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one I wouldn't shoot with a shotgun, but I went back 6 hours later and killed it with a bow.
We both had shotguns in the blind that morning, and I went back home because I had another spot I wanted to go to. And we were piled up on birds that morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not shooting with a shotgun.
Well, the backstory is that I had two big long beards coming into the spot.
Yeah.
And Joe and I have doubled on turkeys on more than one occasion. And I was like, dude, we can do it again. I've got these things coming in. And it's to one of my big-time food plots. We'll turn it back around there.
Yeah.
He has no shame.
I don't. It's the truth. It's a hidden spot back in the woods. I've used buck brunch on it for the last few years.
The only reason why we promote it shameless is because we're getting a freaking short bus out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it. It works. You didn't even have to get electrocuted for it.
No, yeah. Short bus. We'll do anything for a short bus.
So I keep a camera on this little area. It's probably a quarter acre all year round. I always keep a camera on it.
Yeah.
And I had these two strutters coming in there, nice big long beards. Every day they were coming through there, and I was like, Joe, we can take these two out.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out there that morning, and we had a hen come in that we called Broke Beak because her bottom of her beak was just hanging off of her face. I don't know what the heck happened to it. It was the craziest thing ever, and watching her.
I was begging for a beard on her just so we could shoot her to put her out of her misery. Like when she ate, she was turning her head sideways and like
watching her scratch and try to eat. It was
like
crazy.
A hangnail, kind of.
Yeah,
but it was I wonder what happened to her.
I don't know. But then these three Jakes came in, and Joe and I have killed Jakes together before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unashamed about it.
Yeah,
I do not apologize for the animals that I take.
Well, you can't.
You come in like a boss, we're going to kill you like a boss.
Yeah. So,
Joe's signed up for it. There
Joe's
it is.
Like, let's take him out. Let's take him. I was like, I've got a shotgun. I'm not shooting a Jake with a shotgun. I'm not doing it.
Hey, that's honorable.
I've done it many times before, and that was just my thing for that year. I usually have these weird little things that I'm going to do that year.
Yeah.
Like my own little challenges.
No, that's, dude, you got to do that shit. That's cool.
And so,
that's important, I think.
Joe left. I took him home, or took him back to his truck.
I went to my other spot where I was going to kill a turkey and then ended up not killing a turkey.
And so
we'll talk about that.
I take my bow back a few, 4 or 5 hours later, and I wasn't in the blind maybe 45 minutes, and those three Jakes come in, and the biggest one didn't leave. So, and I had no problems with it. Like I'll shoot a Jake with a bow every day.
Dude, I guided a Jake hunt with a shotgun this year, and I had zero shame in my game, sir. Yeah.
He calls me up. He's like, remember them three Jakes? He goes, remember those three Jakes came in this morning? I was like, yeah. He goes, there's only two of them now.
There's only two of them left.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was hilarious. It was a day much like today. It was about mid-60s, rainy, and I did not expect that to happen.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
So
that is awesome.
My hat's off to you, brother, man. I appreciate your passion for that stuff, and I appreciate your just willingness to get other people into your interest. I mean, because it's just, no matter what, that's the roots of what we do. Like, if you're into compounds, and it is cool, like, seeing Chandler into it. He's going to convince a lot of people in the working class group to get. I mean, not that you already haven't, and you continue.
And I'm
to
not it. Trying to. I don't want to try to convert anybody.
No, you're not. You're not. And I'll say that for you. You're not forcefully trying to do it. No, yeah, you're sparking the interest to it. Mm-hmm. To where Austin's like, he's in now.
Wait till he misses his first animal with it. It's the most. Like I said, It's the most fun. And I don't know that he will miss an animal. And Chandler's a pretty. He's been sending me a lot of pictures.
He's shooting enough that he probably won't miss, but it is a different ball game. He could.
Yeah.
But he's also, you know, he's a dude that's killed a lot of big bucks.
Yeah.
He's been in the game for a while. He's no spring chicken, man.
Like, my favorite thing is when you know, at the shoot, at both shoots that I've been to now with you guys, is that when people go, oh, I'd really like to get one of these and try to kill it, you know, just go kill a doe with it. And I'm like, have you ever been 8 yards from a doe with a 60-inch bow?
Yeah.
Right. They're not easy to kill.
Yeah. Right.
It's a hell of a lot easier to kill a year-and-a-half-old buck than it is a doe.
Well, my mindset, and I told I was talking to Chandler. He didn't really give me much reaction, so I don't really know his mindset on it. I was like, if I'm hunting with a recurve, anything's game.
And,
For sure.
Like, first buck that comes in, no matter what it is, I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, man. I've got a button buck. Let me rephrase that. I got a button doe.
A button doe, yes.
Shoulder mounted. That was my first ever animal I took with a longbow. Not my first animal, but the first deer.
Fun fact about the button doe thing. When I just left earlier to go grab a couple more beers, and I checked my phone real fast. I got it charging in there. And I have a text from Trevor from Outdoor Drive, and he sends me screenshots of button doe shirts that he's getting made.
Oh, yes.
And in parentheses underneath button doe, it says it's a 2-year-old.
Yeah, I love Trevor. Oh, dude, that guy can come to my house and cook anytime, though.
Dude, great.
Right?
Dude. He's one of the people that I'm very thankful that I helped him along in certain assets of podcasting, because he's the dude that will never, and I feel this way, will never burn you.
Yeah, and no, he's such a good dude.
He stays appreciative, and he's a good friend. He's a good person. Every time he comes out, he drives from Connecticut to the shoot, and he brings fish cakes and, dude, all sorts of just amazing seafood. Joe, you missed it. You missed the after party at the shoot, man.
I heard.
He made so much good food.
Here's the thing. Next year at the shoot, if we do 2 days for after the first day, I'm going to make like VIP passes, and that gets you to the after party, and we're going to – I got to get Danielle and her husband to come out and do the crawfish boil.
Which was a major hit.
Man, so what did your yard look like the day after the crawfish boil?
It was a mess.
Because I was throwing shells at people, man. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Dude, did you bring the canopy back?
Well, we got it.
Nice.
It's in the truck, yeah.
Chad's like, I remember him be like, fuck that, Dan. I ain't taking
the
back.
Short bus?
Well, it was storming, and I'm tired. I don't sleep very much, but I had a little jaunt back to the hotel, and I had to drive back home the next morning. And I'm not going to take like the only bit of cover that was going on in the backyard.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to.
Well, but you were also like, I was like, hey, Joe's going to want this back. Fuck Joe.
Fuck Joe.
Keep the fucking tent. Fuck him. And I'm like, all right, yeah, it's ours then.
I was like,
he's like, I don't give a fuck about this.
He comes rolling up in my house, and he jumps out, and we're back from the hospital and everything, just hanging out. And I come out because I want to see someone other than,
my wife
and my kids for a second. Not to sound like an asshole, but he comes out and just flings
out
like, I know. He like flings the cover of the canopy. I was like, where's the canopy? He goes, Illinois. I was like, all right.
Sweet. What?
At least it's in good hands, you know?
Yeah, it's still up in Kurt's backyard.
That came in handy like at 3 in the morning.
Well, I mean, I think in a little bit, though, he was surprised I didn't just burn it down or something.
Honestly,
that it survived and we got it back safely.
Yeah. Yeah, because
we had two of them.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two. And so I still had one in the barn, and we used it at my family's 4th of July get-together and shot fireworks and everything, and it was fun and cool. The next day, my brother went out to clean up at my aunt's house. He decided he was going to take that one, so now I have zero canopies. I'm like, what the hell?
What the hell, guys? Taking advantage of me here.
We could work something out.
Dude, it did save our asses.
It saved our asses.
We were expecting, we planned the shoot early, like winter, late winter, early spring. Then COVID happened. And then
we didn't even know if we could have the shoot.
Yeah, and then we have the shoot, and then it's raining. So I'm like, man, hopefully everyone brought canopies, and thankfully we did. The Big Ten canopy is like the center party of it at my house. We popped everything up. Like, the storm was coming in. We're like, let's get these canopies up so we can start getting ready for the crawfish, you know? We had a cool after party. Everybody was cooking. Trey was cooking venison hot dogs, fish cakes.
The kibosh sausage.
Man, those.
Dude, rubbing salt
was he shooting?
At this point.
Did he make clams too?
Clams. Yeah.
He did the clams the year before, didn't he?
The clams were so good.
Dude, they're so good. Dude, he brought me, I love like lobster roll filling. Shellfish is my game. I'm not so big on fish, but like shellfish. Brought me like lobster roll filling. I ate on that for like 3-4 days. Crawfish and I still have some of that crawfish in my freezer, actually. I froze some of it because I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I'm going to try and like reboil it and see how it works.
Why not,
you know?
Bro.
Hmm.
I'm going to try it. It's frozen.
Why not?
Yeah, it should be all right. So it'll be rubbery as hell. But so I think next year what we do, if we do a two-day shoot, we do the same thing. We call it the big time after party. We make some beer.
See, he's always trying to get that damn short bus.
Hey.
Let's see what he's doing.
Listen, we're doing a lot for the brand here. See?
Think about it. I know. I'm going to have to get on the phone with Chase and see how we're
And just so you
this.
Know, for next year's shoot, I am going to find – I'm going – so like I did with Kalamazoo Boat Works this year, which is a good buddy of mine, David Darling.
Yeah, hey, David, thank you so much. And you gave a bow really away to a listener that came to the shoot. That's fucking rad.
I'm going to do – I'm going to partner with another company that I – another bowyer that I really – it'll probably be St. Joe River. Mm-hmm. Which was the longbow that I had out
have
there.
Have them come out and put up a like a tent with a table and stuff. Yeah. And
if I can get them to come out there. That's also – so like the, when you guys did it this year, if it would have happened, that was during the biggest traditional archery shoot
of
the year. Compton's traditional bow hunter shoot was the same – would have been the same weekend.
I think we proved ourselves to that club that we can pull the numbers and pull the people. So now we should be able to claim – a non-holiday weekend. Hopefully Trump just wins the election and we don't have COVID. Well, we'll probably fucking have COVID again next year because Trump will win. but fuck, at that point, everyone's going to ignore everything.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, I'd like to have people that are supporting the shoot.
I'm going to try to get David to come out there as well. That'd be cool.
Because the club would love that.
Like, if I can get Tracy and David to come, because I would like to get... Tracy is the only professional female bowyer in the traditional archery world.
Bowyer.
She makes the bows.
That's what they call them?
Yeah, they call them a bowyer.
A bowyer.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of that.
And I've never heard of it either.
She makes... But you guys shot that bow.
Enough, yeah,
yeah, that's true.
The only reason I've heard of it, because that long bow that I bought, that I sent you, I bought that from a bowyer. He actually used to make bows, and then this was the last one he ever made, and he's like, I don't want it no more, and I wanted to sell it to someone that's going to appreciate it.
Well, Dana
called me up.
Dana just bought one of her youth bows for his daughter.
What's her name?
Her name? Tracy Belowski.
Where's she out of?
Michigan.
No kidding.
Yep. Yeah, and she makes the bow that had the caveman drawing on the side of it, of the guy running with the bow. She make that. I mean, she makes amazing bows.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I've got some friends in
Michigan.
Do you
know her personally?
Yeah, I stay at her house. I'm going on a bear hunt with those guys. It was supposed to have been September this year.
Yeah.
That's not.
You think she'd ever do a podcast?
Possibly. I can ask her.
Some people are weird about it, but that might be a cool episode.
Yeah, she's.
I ain't no carpenter, but can I make a bow out of metal?
You can. I mean, if you can make it bend and put a string on it, you can make a bow out of anything.
You make the Steve moment.
You make the riser.
Well, I mean, just like a compound out of steel.
Yeah.
Dude, steel would be heavy as fuck.
That'd be horrible.
I mean,
it wouldn't be though if you did it right.
It'd be rigid.
I mean, I know you're good at welding, but...
You got a CNC machine.
I think
it's... Engineer something, Doug. I was going to really cut you down, but...
Damn, bro.
Can you make me my own AccuBow?
Yeah, you put your leg up on the cap of a truck and draw that bitch back with some tights on. You listen to that Make Hunting Great Again podcast?
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Dude, Jesus. I got... You know, honestly, we recorded that podcast, and I was like, dude, we're going to get so much hate just for having him on, and only, like, I'd say... a handful of like negative messages about it. But
you're gonna get hate from having me on too,
dude.
You're gonna get hate no matter what you do.
We get kiss babies and donate money to anything, and we're gonna get hate, dude. Every time we say
why'd
something,
why'd you donate to that one? Why not this one,
dude? Name it. We get hate for it, but also like anytime we do anything controversial or make a bold statement about something, like our listener base is fucking the best, and they think the same way we think. So if I'm like, man, fuck that shit, and I say something about whatever, they're like, hey, man, appreciate it. I thought the same thing. I'm glad somebody said it. Like, that's typically the response.
Right.
You're not going to get a bunch of yuppies that are listening to Working Class Bow Hunter, you know what I mean? So if
– Well, Joe's trying to start the hipster blend of Big Time with his kale and all of his other stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Kale. No, it's just I want to be able to eat something while I'm out there.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of
you a ranch dressing packet, you're fucking good
to
go.
Hey, you should partner with Cliff Bar and do a Cliff Bar blend for all the granola hikers.
What was the crap you were eating in the turkey blind that day?
Ask Doug how many radishes I ate last year.
tell me about Cliff Bars.
They have a coffee macchiato Cliff Bar.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
I'm not saying that they're not delicious.
They are delicious. I don't eat them because I'm a health nut. I mean, look at me.
Yeah.
True. We all got the dad body.
We all got Bush Light bodies in here, so except for Shad.
I don't have a Bush Light body.
He's got a running, I care about my body.
He's got a muskrat living on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. It's a pine martin. Here.
I'm half Sasquatchian.
Yeah.
Where were we going?
He had nice hair.
We were talking about the shoot, the after party, making bows, having the bow maker on a podcast.
And Joe wasn't there.
David. I know David would do one as well. I've talked to him about it.
Yeah.
He's a vet as well.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All people.
David's a... he's a great guy.
Get us in contact, man. We'll have a chit-chat.
For sure.
Chit-chat?
But there's... I think for next year as well, I'm also going to offer my friend Chad Graham. Have you guys seen the pictures I've posted of like the spliced fletchings that I use, the different colored fletchings?
I think so.
Probably.
So I've got a buddy named Chad Graham out of Michigan who has a company called Wood Arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And he... You know of D&M Arrows? Have you ever heard of them?
I don't think so.
All right. He makes really nice wood nice wood and carbon arrows.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe you guys know because he does stuff for the compound world as well.
I might, dude, but I'm such a...
So, anyways...
Man. I got a wage brain, I forget.
Chad makes some beautiful work of art arrows, and his spliced feathers are, like, second to none.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I'm probably going to do next year... Because I'm... So, these things that I'm donating, this is out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not asking the bowyers... Because there's not a lot of money in the traditional archery world, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to sell the same idea to the same 20 people.
Yeah,
sure.
So these are people that I care about, and I want to support them and get their business spread out. So like the bow that was the Kalamazoo bow, David's building it, but I'm paying for him to build it.
That's cool of you, man.
That is badass.
And that's not like for me to like receive praise. That's how much I care about this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I want to. You need arrows to shoot out of those things. And,
right.
And what better way than to have an amazing custom set of arrows to go with your bow?
Right.
And so I'm going to get with Chad as well and have him make a really nice set of arrows for him.
It'd be cool if we get a good weekend, and I'll get with the club here because, I mean, I think we're going to do the same club and do everything, you know, get with all them guys and have them come out. And it'd be cool to have them a part of it too, you know. I mean, we can have as many people come out to this place as we want, especially with 2 days. And
if they bring bows, it's not like me bringing bows. They're going to have different weight ranges.
Yeah,
they're going to have left hand, right hand.
Well, we could set them, like if they want to come out with all their recurves, we could put them up by the practice range and sit there and be like, hey, you guys want to try these? You know, and really just like introduce as many people as possible to it.
And Tracy's youth bows, like for kids. And she's got like this grow with, I don't know what it's actually called, but it's like a grow with the archer package. So if you get your child a bow, have her make them a recurve or a longbow or whatever mm-hmm. the hell she's making for them. As they grow, you can trade that in and use that towards your next. I mean, it's not free. It's not a free upgrade.
Yeah, you get like a credit.
Yeah, and you're going to grow with that person.
That is fucking cool.
And she's really, really big on the youth archery scene because, I mean, if we don't take care of the kids doing it and teaching them right, you know,
yeah,
helping that's what I'll be doing. I want to instill the good ethics and,
of course,
and everything.
The ethics dude is number one in my
for
opinion.
Sure.
But I think people are kind of shocked by that because of the way we talk and act sometimes. But it is number one. If you're gonna be the way we are, ethics have to be number one because you can't be a fucking dick bag when it comes to killing animals.
Right.
And then you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you cut up, let loose, but respect what you're doing. You're killing an animal. It's not to be taken lightly in any aspect.
I've never enjoyed taking the life of anything. It is a necessity.
Yeah.
For if you're going to eat any type of meat or wear any type of animal priority, it's a necessity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a necessity to some people, but for me, a guy who was raised by a man who grew up in the Depression, that's how I was raised. You live off the land as much as possible. But
that's
it's
an
also,
interesting outlook.
It was also taught to be done with respect.
Because mm-hmm.
if you don't respect where it came from, what it is, then it's going to go away.
Yeah.
So you have to have that. You have to have that respect. You have to have those ethics.
Absolutely.
And you don't take more than what you need.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that's...
That's what I had... it's funny you bring that up. When I tagged out in December last year on Bucks in Illinois. I had a bunch of listeners, and no fault to them or anything, but like, hey, man, you going to go get a Wisconsin tag or an Indiana tag or try to get an Iowa tag or a Missouri tag? Because, you know, that's all drivable distance from where we're located in Illinois. I'm like, I don't really need to. Like, I'm not saying this is excusable, but just to hear me out, like, I'm not filming a television show to where, you know what I'm saying? But I donated a couple deer this last season, which I feel good because it goes to our local food pantry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those people would much rather be having some nice red meat than some fucking canned cream corn
Absolutely.
Or whatever. But, you know, I'm not going to other states to shoot animals. I don't really need to. Some years maybe I will, you know, but what's going on, fellas? Be all right?
What'd I do?
Creamed corn. Of all of it, creamed corn.
Well, what the fuck? People go to the Aldi and buy canned...
I love creamed corn, man.
Yeah, but imagine if all you ate was creamed corn.
Yeah, that'd get old.
You'd be like, I'll take a backstrap.
Was it big time flavored, though?
Well, it wasn't the deer cream corn.
That was shameless. I'm sorry.
Deer cream corn?
It makes your deer taste better.
It comes in a watertight, tastes clear like bag.
It tastes like it's got a hint of cherry in it.
Yeah. You put cherries in your cream corn. Only in Indiana they do. It's like dessert. Cream corn with cherries.
Your dessert corn.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Yeah, ethics and morals and traditional archery and big time. There we are.
That's a crazy, crazy thing.
It's a crazy blend of an episode, man, but I like how like we kind of recycled it and made several into one.
This is like a crazy friendship and everything. I'm glad we got to bring that together.
Yeah. Remember,
it's a weird duo.
You remember before we all met Shad, you told me about him? You're like, hey, he's like the older version of you.
Yeah.
So what was funny, I remember this, is when we pulled up to that first shoot, and I was like, hey, I'm Shad. And he's like, oh, yeah, Joe told me about you. Like, Joe's a goddamn liar. Like, that was our first conversation.
You shut your mouth.
You shut your whore mouth. Here's what I'm going to tell you about Joe.
He's at the shoot this year. He's like, yeah, man, everybody's wanting to know where you're at. Every time somebody said, where's Joe at? I like Joe. He's like, Joe's a fucking piece of shit. I'm here now.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm the guy now.
Yeah, cool. A lot of it was, fuck Joe.
Fuck Joe.
I'm here.
Thank you, guys. It's my daughter. Thanks. Appreciate it. Mm. Yeah. Tell the introductory story.
Oh, of how we first met?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
There's got to be a couple stories told.
This is a long...
Now that you got all the spiritual, we're ethical and everything, now you got
to
hear...
Now you get to hear how he met me when I was a completely drunk, depressed, divorced guy, right? So I was going on a date with his roommate. And I didn't know Joe. I just... met this chick through the music scene and stuff. And,
yeah.
He's decent at music, by the way.
Yeah, real quick. Like, you've been in several bands, some mm-hmm. really popular. Like, talk about that real fast. Or you don't, I mean, take as much
well,
time
I'm not,
all day, but.
I'm currently not in any musical. I mean, I have a project, but we don't get to play anymore because of the COVID. and you know, there's, like, my wife is susceptible to catching that. She suffered from a brain tumor and her immune system's not that great. So mm-hmm. I have to kind of like really be cautious about what I do to make sure I don't bring things home.
Understandable.
But when I took a job promotion 2.5 years ago, my free time to play music really dwindled.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really play as much as I used to. I do have a nice jam room in my house for when people come over, if they are, you know, musicians and we want to get together and jam and stuff. But yeah, I've been in quite a few bands. I've been playing music for a long time.
That's awesome.
I love writing original music. I love playing original music. And I just like music, man. It's part of me. It's like breathing. It's like archery. It's like anything. I have to do it.
Yeah.
Even when I walk away from it, I never fully walk away from it. It's just like temporary breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
So
when he's singing, he gets pterodactyl arms, which is really cool.
I do. I don't know why.
Bitching.
I don't do it with my hands.
When I just sang without, you know, it was just a singer in a band. For whatever reason, man, this left hand would just kind of gimp up, and that's what was comfortable. And
that's where you hit your notes at, man.
It would be.
Hit the high notes.
I was a really weird front man. Joe bared witness to many of my episodes.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah. So anyways.
I figured I'd bring up that background. So.
Yeah. If you want to hear the last thing I was a part of, the last band I'm really proud of this band. They're still going strong. It's a band called Maria Hill, pop punk band. I don't listen to pop punk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an old punk rock kid, but I was never really into the pop punk stuff, but I love to play it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Amazing music. I mean,
album we put out was called Lie to Me, and it's available on all music platforms. All the Murray Hill albums are.
After this, we'll have to check it out.
Like Spotify and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Bitchin'.
And I'm really proud of that album. It's the only time I've ever had fun in the studio. I hate studio. I like playing live. I don't like studio. It's tedious.
Yeah.
But the four of us worked together really well on that album.
Is it? Can we play this? Can I play some of it? Oh, fuck, I don't have my phone on me. I can go
yeah.
grab it. Here, I'll go grab it. I'll be right back.
I got it.
Oh, you got it?
I have it on my
There's
phone.
Actually a music, like, we recorded the music video off of that album, too.
Oh, we're watching that for this, for sure.
It's, I know Steve liked it. He saw it. Yeah. We did it in a local wrestling ring.
Oh, yeah.
And so we also had local wrestlers. Yeah. So we had, and so they had to, like, teach us how to do this stuff, and we got our asses whipped for an entire day.
When you poured the milk on yourself?
Yeah. So we all had characters
in
it.
Oh, we're watching this for sure.
What are we looking at here?
I've listened to it before.
I don't know if I spelled it right.
Yeah? I just don't remember. No, it's one word.
Steve pulled up, and we were checking out a bunch of your stuff, but it's been a little while. It's been since last year's
shoot.
Yeah,
that's him. So that's that. This guy right here is the guy who plays bass now for me.
So they're pulling
up. So, and this
Spotify.
Dude right here, that long-haired guy, that's the father of my granddaughter.
Let me see it, Eric. Right here, I'll get it playing in the mic. Yep. What song, Shad? Are we going to get in trouble for playing any of this music?
No, no, no.
We were on Rise of the Sun.
No, not this album.
Which song do you want me to play?
Go to Lie to Me. Yeah, that album.
Geppetto?
Yeah, play Geppetto, man. That's the one we did the
here,
video from.
Let me play it. That way I can play it in the... here, I can get it. Sounds good. Geppetto?
Yeah.
Your volume. Reminds me of I'm drawing a blank on the band.
Like Newfound Glory?
No, it reminds me of I'm drawing a blank. It's one of my I used to go to their shows all the time. I used to be really into like the hardcore and punk scene.
Mm-hmm. I like
it. You'll know the band when I remember it. I'm drawing a blank. But no, I like it. I like that type of shit.
Yeah, they're still together, man. They're still playing. I had to leave I left the band last September. We were going on tour to support that album, and I had to – the guy who's playing bass for them now, I had to get a fill-in because of my career.
Mm-hmm.
We had stuff going on. I couldn't go on tour. Yeah. And so I knew, like, that's – I had
– Oh, dude, this is nuts. I got to get my phone. They have a song called Goonies Never Say Die. That's one of the –
Can we just look it up?
Yeah, type that in. God, I can't believe it.
I love those guys. If music ever gets to get played live again, and they – come around, man, go see them because they're
That's awesome.
You've been a part of some pretty amazing bands, though.
Is that the song or the band?
Yeah, it's the song. Let me see.
I've had a lot of fun playing music.
Man, set your goals. Cool. You ever heard of Set Your Goals?
I have not.
That band's like
I've probably heard of that song because that sounds familiar.
I'm a really big fan of. I just drew a blank. I saw Set Your Goals a few times, and they have a bunch of real good. It's like sounds like you guys could go on tour together, and people would all be stoked about it.
Yeah, it's. I had a lot of fun with that band. I didn't create that band. I joined it. So, but there was a few different lineup changes throughout the time, even when I was in it.
Yeah.
And that's how bands do that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I was had the band before that I was really proud of was the Fuck Texas tattoo that you guys saw earlier.
Yeah,
I never told the story on that. So one of my best friends, Jason Wren, moved to Texas back in 2013.
Looks like a skinny version of Captain Spaulding.
Yeah, he does. He does. And he was to the left or right of me in every band I was in for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the bluegrass band that we started, which was didn't start out as a bluegrass band. It's just me and him. We played heavy rock and roll all the time. And we wanted to do some roots stuff that we were, as part of our childhood.
Yeah.
And so I'm playing acoustic guitar and he's playing mandolin and we're just, my wife,
I love that bluegrass shit.
Yeah, my wife was in the band as well, and she added all the pretty to our ridiculousness. And my wife's a hell of a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And we started writing songs, and this little side project ended up turning into a really big, bluegrass band.
Yeah, is that music still playing?
Is there music playing right now?
It sounds like it. So, but we were called Moonshine Junction, and we had a lot of damn fun.
No,
like that was. That was one of our favorite things. It was just to go out. We got the bluegrass community hated us because we were too punk rock and we didn't play standards correctly.
Yeah.
We wrote a lot of songs about, you know, just depression and just old timey kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Jason, whenever he moved away and down to Austin, Texas, we started the Fuck Texas thing with the band because it was like our love to him.
Yeah.
And then one day I was at the tattoo shop and decided to get it plastered on my back, and I took a picture of it, sent it to my wife, and she's like, "Oh, who drew that on you?" I was like, "Oh no, that's permanent." And she's like, "You're a fucking dumbass."
That's hilarious. Every time you say that, there's a band that called No Hope in Texas that I was really into for a while. I don't know if you ever heard of them or not.
I have not.
The first time he showed me that tattoo, though, like we came to a race you were doing. Was that the 24-hour
deal? No, it was my first ultra marathon. It was the Hawthorne Half Day. It was a 12-hour run around.
We go down to support him. He's running for 12 hours, and he's running, and he passes. Stacey's like, "Did you see his tattoo?" Like, right there on his back? Yeah. It's like, it says, "Fuck Texas." Like, yeah, that's out there for everybody right there.
Yeah.
Now, look at that. That sure is what it says.
There it is.
I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I can't go swimming in a public pool anymore, but I didn't swim in public pools any fucking way. I'm not really.
You don't need to worry about it.
Just keep your shirt on in Texas. You know, No.
If I don't get punched by a Texan by taking my shirt off, because they're proud people, man.
They are.
If I don't get punched by a Texan, then this is all for naught. It has to be done.
I'm
getting pretty old, and I don't want to take a punch to the face anymore, but I think that's...
Our five listeners in Texas are like, man, fuck this guy.
Fuck this guy. See, I told you I'm going to make people
mad.
It's
no disrespect.
No, it's a love thing.
It's funny, yeah.
And Jason is still... I mean, I love that guy. I'll always... He's one of my best friends. He's like a brother. He's like Joe to me. I mean, he's like a brother, so...
Did we get to the story how you guys met yet?
No, we got sidetracked.
We're getting there. I think we did a backtrack on his bands.
Yeah, that's what...
Sorry.
Yeah, because we start. That's how the story...
You can't start until he gets back.
Now you guys are going to
fill
it.
Start it?
No, we got to wait for Kurt to get back. Because he's just going to come back and be like, what were you guys talking about?
Is it Bluegrass Band? Do you guys have any of that music out?
It's all over YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah, but we didn't. We recorded one time, and that's not what we did. Like, we were a live band.
Sure.
And that's where the funny and the chaos and things like that came from, was playing live. And
Playing live, though, you can just kind of be yourself and joke around and bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Moonshine Junction was just a fun band. I mean, it was just fun to listen to you guys, and you could just tell that
So if you look that up, you can find it on YouTube?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, we're diving deep after this.
Yeah.
Oh, we are for sure.
We're going to watch Shad Rock out.
We had a lot of fun, man. We wrote some really fun songs.
Dude, I'm telling you, like the Hannes Project, dude, some of the stuff you guys cranked out was just...
We still play. We still...
Joe never joined?
Because
I played Spoons a couple times.
Joe would just come and get drunk.
The washboard?
He would just stand there with Bush Lights and go, woo!
I was standing right there in the center. I was creepy.
Yep.
I was front row center, hammer drunk.
Yeah, that was Joe.
I jumped up on stage a couple times.
Probably. I don't know. Pretty. I would... When
crowd surf?
Before I started playing instruments with the bands... just as a front man, I wasn't on the stage a whole hell of a lot. I like to wreck shit a lot. Right. So
One of the first times I ever saw you play was the fourth quarter, and you were in a dress.
It was a sarong, you dick. It wasn't a dress.
That's a dress.
A sarong.
Yeah, that was the only show my dad ever came. Yeah, it's a wrap that women use when they have a bikini on, and it's just like looks like a dress.
Oh, okay.
But my roommate had it, and I was just like, "Oh, I'm going to wear that." And for what? It's like for my show. Oh, okay.
Okay.
And
it
was the only show my dad ever came to. And he brought some guys from work. So
did you know they were coming?
That's my son.
No,
you didn't know they were coming.
And, no, and my
that's
dad's
my, boy.
My dad's that's an old hippie, and a lot of his friends are very redneck, and then he shows up to this dive bar, and this is when I had long hair, when I had hair before male pattern baldness took over completely. Sees his, his long haired son with painted toenails and this floral sarong on, and just climbing up on tables. And at one point in time, like I'm up on a table and I'm screaming.
Kicked a beer out of my hand.
Kicked a beer out of Joe's hand. I look down and my dick is hanging out of my boxers.
Oof.
With the sarong. And it's just like,
that's my boy.
That's, yeah. So, my dad At the end of it, he comes up to me and he's like, "That was interesting, but the one day I come and bring my friends, you wear a fucking dress." And right? I was just like, he goes, "You know how much shit I'm going to have to hear from this at work?"
He probably still hears about it.
Yeah.
The man's like a Zoolander. Jesus Christ, Derek.
Yeah. So, which I don't, I have no shame.
So to recap, Shad, he's a traditional bow hunter, skateboarder,
dress
rock
wearer.
Star.
I'm not a rock star.
No, you're
not.
Yeah,
you kind of are.
And you work in a steel mill.
I do work
you're
in a steel
mill.
You're
a boss at a steel mill.
I'm not a boss.
You're a boss.
I'm not a boss.
Don't go meek.
I'm not a boss.
Shut up.
And
he's meek.
Yeah.
All right. So back to the, go ahead.
So
let's hear the story.
We waited for you. So the story of how Joe and I met. So this is, you guys are young. I don't know if you guys remember the MySpace times.
Oh fuck yes, we do. We ain't that young.
I know. I just like to fuck with you.
Remember MySpace?
Pre-Facebook. This is like pre-COVID times.
You always had a fucking song playing in the background.
Yeah, man. You had your top eight. You know?
Oh, yeah, your top eight.
Sure. You were rocking it. Yeah. And
probably some Pink Floyd or some shit, you know?
This girl comes to a show. We talk, and she's like, "We should go out on a date, blah, blah, blah." So we go on a date. I go to pick her up, and I'm there, and Joe comes walking in. And this might have been around turkey season time. I don't remember. Dates are kind of shady around that. I was really drunk back then. But Joe comes walking in, and we start talking. And we're talking about, you know, he's mentioned something. I was like, "Oh, you a hunter?" And he's like, looks at me, because here's this fucking crackhead, thin, long-haired, rock and roll guy.
Straight up crackhead.
He starts talking about hunting and shit and shooting. I was like, "Oh, yeah, I shoot traditional archery." And just like kind of gives me this fucking look, right? So anyways, we go out on this date.
Not me and Chad.
Not me.
Not my bad. Didn't go on a date?
So we go on this date.
I thought you said the archery thing.
And Joe ends up at the same bar that we're at later on that night. And this chick and I, we're not really vibing too well. And so I looked at Joe and I was like, we are both completely piss drunk. And I don't recommend anybody do this, but if you do it with the right person, it creates a lifelong friendship. So I was like, "Dude, you want to get out of here?" And he's like, "Yeah." So we get in my car in a town that we grew up in, right? We go to another bar and we're driving and I turn, which I shouldn't have been behind the wheel. I'm not advocating this kind of behavior at all, but this is how it happened.
This is kind of like drinking the happy hour type thing. Like, we do not condone this. Yeah, we're adults now.
But if you do it, it's just,
Yeah. So I turn the wrong way down a one-way street that I knew was a one-way street as a cop was going by.
But it was the fastest way to the next bar.
Yeah, Joe's like, "Oh, shit." So I just floor it. We start flying down alleyways, back.
There's berries and cherries.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're trying to catch us. Float into his parking lot of his apartment complex, just kind of like slide-size, get out, and we just start walking down the road.
To the bar that we were going to.
Smart.
We see the cops looking for us, but, you know, my car was in the back of this parking lot.
And you guys are walking now.
We're walking now. Yeah, we're just casual, like this was just what you do the first time you meet somebody, right?
Of course, yes.
So we go to the bar, continue to become ridiculously drunk, walk back to his apartment where we decide to take a giant road construction barrel home with us. Not my home, his home. He's like, "Man, I've got catfish. Fried up. Let's go back to my place, have catfish sandwiches." I'm like, "I'm all about a catfish sandwich."
Dude, I live where we're at in Terre Haute is Indiana State, which is like the minor league version of IU or Purdue.
Yeah.
If you can't get in there, you go to ISU. I said it. I graduated there. I'm cool with it. But, I mean, I was still a redneck, still a hillbilly, and I'm going catfish and everything. I've got all these catfish flails. I'm like, "Come on, dude. You're my new best friend.
We got to make some sandwiches, man."
He's in the city, like, chopping catfish heads off and throwing them at the balcony across the street to the people.
There was a fraternity across the street. They're having a party. We're throwing catfish heads.
So we're eating these catfish sandwiches, and I'm looking at this barrel. And Joe's looking at the barrel, and it's like this.
Like, this
double,
ain't a road cone. This is a road.
This
barrel.
Is a fucking barrel, a plastic barrel
that has the light on top.
And so we're looking at this thing, and there's the stairs that go down.
2.5 stories.
I could, dude, let's ride the barrel down the stairs, and it's like we both had the same light bulb that went off.
And you guys just met.
Yeah, met. So.
Like, Joe's inside looking at the barrel. And
yeah,
ride it down?
Well, that's what. So we put it down. It evolved. I was like, I go, "Dude, get in the barrel." Just like head first in the barrel. He's like, "Yeah." Still has a sandwich in his hand. Climbs in, and I just kind of just kicking,
just kicking
right
down the stairs.
He hits the first step and then just kind of goes poof, poof, and just starts flipping down it. Stuck inside of it, forearms bleeding, still holding his fish sandwich.
Still eating my sandwich.
Still eating his sandwich. He's like, dude, get me out of there. He's like, hold on, I got to take a picture. This is flip phone time with you know, a one-inch screen that nobody could see the fucking picture on anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so all grainy and shit.
Yeah, this
two
picture,
megapixels.
Yeah, I take this picture of Joe's feet just sticking out of this barrel, and this is like our first date, basically.
So you guys did go on a date then?
That it turned out to be that way.
By the way, the chick that I was a roommate, I lived with like
seven or eight people. There's a whole bunch of people.
It was five girls.
Yeah,
that I lived with.
Oh damn, Joe
Stallion.
And
no, they didn't like him.
No, they didn't like me. I didn't pay rent. I mean, I'm chopping a fucking catfish heads off in their kitchen. Why would they like me?
Right, right. Yeah.
They did not realize what they got with that. Yeah. They're like, oh, this guy can pay rent.
But yeah, we had no idea where they were. They get home and we're like, all we're both bleeding and everything, riding a barrel down the stairs. And that was like the weekend thing for like the next 7 or 8 weeks.
Oh man,
just riding this barrel down the stairs.
We had parties that would, you know, these people would come over just to like ride this fucking barrel down the stairs. Because I was like, because after he like flipped through, I was like,
I can
surf this thing, dude. I'm a skateboarder. I can skate this down the stairs.
We can
He's
do
like,
better.
No, you can't. Fuck you. So I just jump on it. And the bottom of the stairs, there was a 90-degree turn with like four more stairs. So I'm just floating down it, and there's only one way to stop, and that's against the wall.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you're just like, yeah, impelling yourself into the wall, laughing. So we're
What year was this?
2004?
No, it wasn't.
Three? Five? Somewhere in that area.
Wait. 2003.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that area.
Three.
That's a long time
2003
ago.
2003 or four, yeah.
We've had a pretty lengthy courtship.
Yeah,
we're legally married in some states, so
we were.
But like I was in college at the time, you were just
I was not in college. I was a drunk divorced guy with three kids, so you know,
so you're definitely looking to
but then
surfboard
you know,
a barrel down some stairs, huh?
I was on a mission to kill myself, man.
Yeah, we did the whole.
I missed a lot.
And Joe was there to help you.
He was there. We had a lot of really good bad ideas, man.
That's I mean, awesome. Like his 30th birthday, he did 30 shots of Jaeger in like an hour and a half.
That sounds so terrible.
The goal was an hour.
Ever.
The goal was an hour. I mean, it was horrible.
I don't think
I could do that in 6 hours.
I ended up naked, walking, air guitaring down the bar at the bar where that was called Old Semerals. And the bar owner was a friend of mine, and the only thing he told me like was not to like do that. It was to just put boxers on because there was no talking sense.
Yeah. Well, at that point, no way.
In general.
You drink a bottle of Jaeger in an hour,
amongst other things.
How many shots are in a bottle?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
All of them.
I've never counted them.
That was just where we started at. Like we left there and went other places.
Let's not find out.
It was an interesting night. It was a very interesting night.
So I was driving a 92 S10 at the time.
It was a classy vehicle.
I had my date for the night, his date for the night, and I'm trying to get him back to his house.
You have all four of you in an S10?
No. He's in the bed.
I'm in the rain.
I had been fishing, apparently, because there was a couple oars in the back of my truck. He put them in the pockets? In the pockets. I'm driving down the road.
He didn't even know
dude.
Just
there, you know there's someone out there that still tells a story of the S10 that drove by and there's someone oaring in the backyard.
Who was that we talked to that? Like, we pulled up on somebody
there was,
that we knew.
There was some girl that was walking with a guy, and I picked the oar up, and I told him that if he hurt her, I was going to fucking kill him. I didn't even know who the hell he was.
But that's basically been our friendship.
Hey, so good morals, though.
Even when
you're hammered.
Started off strong. There you go.
That's right.
Very, very different. I mean, we both kind of, I would like to think we both matured.
Somewhat. I don't know.
A little bit.
I was at a skate park 2 weeks ago.
I enjoyed the story, and I definitely think our listeners will probably relate to that story with some of their friendships that they have.
Absolutely.
You're going to get hate mail from these stories.
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
You're advocating drunk driving and running from police.
Hey, like, everyone here has been young and dumb. We've all done dumb
that's
shit.
That's the thing, you know, for sure.
Yeah. But that being said, we grew up. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. We've got family. He's got grandkids because he's old.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's tough out here.
It's
cool, though. Well, boys, we covered a ton.
That was a lot.
From big time to traditional archery to just bullshit stories and fun.
So much to digest.
It's like it. It's deer camp in the apartment building.
I love it, man.
I love it. I love the feel here.
Yeah, I do. I do too. Comfy. There's big bucks. Good people.
Bushlight.
Bushlight. What else do you need?
We're out of now.
Oh shit!
We got to go eat.
Oh, my wife's calling.
Yeah, we need some nourishment.
Perfect time. Wives are calling. We're closing it out. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the fun. The serious, the fun, and everything in between.
The serious.
And you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.